If you want to be a wise guy, you can do it anywhere. If you want to be a strong man, you can do it anywhere. If you want to be an Indian chief, cowboy, you can do it anywhere. You can't do it anymore.
To have happen right now is for all you fat, out of shape, ignorant, internet ignoramus, World of Warcraft fan fiction writing vagabond virgins to keep the noise down and listen to what real men podcasting sounds like. I am your host for the evening. I am the poobah of pelvic pulsation. I am the commander-in-chief of kick-ass. I am the man who won't stop thinking about tomorrow. I am basically the first gentleman in waiting and soon to be king of Canada. I am none other than President Clinton. And normally, I am joined by a true legend of the podcasting world, one-inch biceps, but unfortunately, he has had to step out for a little bit, a little bit of a mix-up in his schedule, but I'm going to cover here, and I brought on a little guest. I have the self-described potentate of podcasting, who has his new podcast out there on the interwebs. Welcome, everyone. Good old JR.
Ah, thank you. Such a good time to be on this program here. I admire you, President Clinton, but, you know, I also have the Ross Report out, and it's a fine podcast, and I'd like to invite each and every one of your listeners to tune in. Nah!
I think that they should. I mean, you've got a quality podcast out there. Mm-hmm. And you've got some quality sponsors on it, it seems like. You seem to talk about them a lot.
No, I love the sponsorship. It's always a good time. Good people put up the money so I can do my podcasting business. Oh, yeah.
It's good times.
The one thing, I wouldn't have ever stepped into this realm if it wasn't for IYH. That one-inch biceps character, I wish he was around right now.
I wish he was around, too, because he is a true legend of the podcasting field. But I wanted to ask you what inspirations do you draw from in your head to take over to your podcast? Mm. What have you learned? What inspires you?
Well, the one thing is when Jack at one-inch biceps was interviewing Knobs at the Fan Fest, and one-inch biceps, he looked at Brian Knobs and he said, "Whatever you do, and I said, "Now that's a man who knows how to ask a question. That man is a genius right there."
Well, clearly he is. It's a shame he's not here right now. He was pretty pumped for this interview.
Nah. Boomer Sooner.
Boomer Sooner, indeed. Good old JR here with me here on InYourHeadOnline.com. I've got a few questions for you that a lot of people, I don't think, totally ask you about.
You're going to talk about my barbecue sauce?
Oh, I was just about to walk into your barbecue sauce. How are the sales going?
Well, you know, they're through the roof ever since I've left the WWE. The sales... Well, let's just put it this way. McDonald's can't keep the ketchup in the market right now. I'm just always going in there with a big bottle, just pumping away. My goddamn arm gets tired just from pumping all that damn ketchup out into the bottles. But JR's barbecue sauce, nothing better.
Nothing better at all.
Just a little cayenne pepper in there. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Don't give away all your secrets, JR.
Oh, there's much more ingredients than that.
Ah, good. I don't want to... Now people can... they got to buy your barbecue sauce from WWE's shop, huh? Why is that?
No, you know. Just because JR likes eating, and he likes staying in business.
Eating and staying in business. Well, talking about staying in business, you've had to do a few unsavory things in your career to keep your job. I mean, you've been fired plenty of times, too. But one of the first things that springs to mind is being one of the first members of the Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club. What was your thoughts on that?
You know, people look at that and they think that, you know, it was a low part of my career. But I look at it as being like one of the biggest achievements. You know, I mean, I'm there stuck in Vince McMahon's ass, and I couldn't think of a better thing to be, you know, any other place I'd rather be than right there on WWE television, stuck in Vince McMahon's ass. I mean, if they think that's humiliating, I've been through some, you know, all kinds of ordeals that people, you know, they come up to me and be like, Ross, how are you doing that? Aren't you humiliated by that? And I say, no, of course not, man. It's a wrestling business. You know, back in the days when I worked for Bill Watts, he'd be at the arena and he'd have to tell, you know, because back in those days, the locker rooms were split into heels and the face. You know, one side in the heels be on the others. And Jim, you know, Bill, not Jim Ross, but Bill Watts, he'd just stand there, and then he would whistle. He'd go, you know, I can't really do it real good right now. But he would whistle, and, you know, then I'd get down on all fours. And I'd just start trampling over there, and I'd get right in front of Bill Watts, and I'd go, and he'd say, hi, old Silver, and he'd get on my back and mount me, and I'd run the man around on the ring, and that's just what I had to do to keep my job. I mean, there's no shame in that. This is wrestling business.
You got to do what you got to do to stay in business.
I mean, it's not ballet. You know, so he rode me around like a horse, and I didn't find that humiliating. I mean, that's fine.
That's part of the business. I heard Jim Barnett had done worse to others.
I'm sure he had. You know, he there's a little story about him being light in loafers.
Well, speaking about...
Well, I'm a chubby little fucker, so nobody wants to say anything like that to me.
Well, talking about being a little light in the loafers, one of the regular hosts of this podcast, Mr. Jackie Jones, recently said that he saw Roddy Piper do some stand-up, and he gave a few spoilers for Legends House and said that Pat Patterson comes out of the closet during that. What's your thoughts on that?
You know... That's the biggest work I've ever heard. Pat Patterson, he's not gay. He isn't gay. I've watched the man, and I've seen how he looked at other people. And I just think this is the biggest work in the wrestling business I've ever seen. You know, one time I was out, you know, looking at Pat, and I was like, hey, Pat, you know, they all say you're a little, you know, light in the loafers. He said, oh, you know, and it's broken English. He was like, oh, yes, sir, Mr. JR, that's true. And I said, oh, well, let's just see how true it is. So I just whipped it out. Whipped it out. And I was like, look, Pat.
Just right there in front of him, you whipped it out.
And I was like, let's see how gay you are. And he backed down.
He didn't want to sauce it?
No. I was like, come on, Pat. Come on, show me how gay you are. And he just walked away.
Well, he's got to be totally straight then. Man.
He's got JR right there, you know, burying the twig and berries. And he just walked away. Now tell me, is that man gay?
I wouldn't think so. Clearly, if he was, he would have not been able to control himself.
Don't believe everything you hear, you bunch of marks. I mean, it's all work, you know. It's the wrestling business.
We're pretty low. We have pretty low opinion of the marks on this show. Pat Patterson, as you talked about. Now, I always heard the rumors that he was gay, but now you've confirmed that he's not to me. It makes a lot more sense. I mean, he was a very talented wrestler, and you couldn't do that and be gay at the same time. I don't think the guys would stand for it.
No, I mean, how could a man be in one of the most brutal matches I've ever seen, that bootstrap match with Sergeant Slaughter, Madison Square Garden? I mean, the man's not fruity. Come on now.
I mean, if he was fruity, he'd be prancing around, and you didn't see Pat Patterson. You've cleared up a lot of stuff for people here today.
Just the work.
Now, I mean, Pat Patterson, I've seen him on the Legends of Wrestling roundtables with you, and there's been a lot of interesting stuff that goes on there. You had a little bit of a discussion about Buff Bagwell on there.
Well, you know, Buff. He has his mom do all his dirty work for him. And I just have no respect for a man who can't, you know, do something for himself. At least that's the front that I put on. Now, I'll just be, you know, I want to be 100% honest. I'm on IYHWrestling.com here. And I just want to say, his mom called me up. She's like, Buff Bagwell can't make it to this show. And I just thought, my God, what sort of woman am I talking to right here? She sounds like one of the oddest pieces of ass I've ever heard. I mean, I would have liked to have Judy Bagwell on my pole, if you know what I mean.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
You never had the chance?
So I showed a lot of frustration on TV, you know, talking about Buff Bagwell, but all it really was just sexually frustrated.
Oh,
that
man.
Judy Bagwell, oh my God.
She was a WCW Tag Team Champion.
Oh, she's a looker.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's the real reason that Buff is no longer around.
On WCW.
You got rid of Buff because his mom wouldn't do business, as they say.
No, I'll never, you know, self-incriminate myself or whatever.
Man, I knew that Buff Bagwell was too talented of a wrestler to not be on television if there wasn't a reason. I'm not saying this is your fault, but we can read between the lines here on InYourHeadOnline.com.
You know, times like that is when I wish Vince McMahon was around and I could just, you know, put my face and bury it right between his ass, because that's where I feel the most comfortable.
Man.
I get all pent up and just feeling, you know, lonely. Judy's not around. Oh, my sweet Judy. And I just want to bury my face in Vince McMahon's ass. Oh, I could just live there.
Sauce it.
Oh, that sweet aroma that comes from it. Oh, I miss those times.
Oh, man. Now, speaking of lonely, frustrated people and women, you also mentioned on the Legends Roundtable that that women used to come up to you and want you to snap photos of Andre the Giant's junk. Mm-hmm. And you kind of said that you never actually took these women up on it. But now that you're no longer with the WWE and you're not under their contract, do you got to tell us the real story here?
Well, the fact of the matter is, I tried to take these young Jezebels up on this offer. You know, I tried to get, you know, a shot of Andre the Giant's penis. I was a little, you know, I was curious myself. So I'd, you know, make, you know, sometimes the bathroom, I would punch a hole in the ceiling and try to, you know, get just right into that stall where I could see, you know, see what's doing. But I just never could get the shot of the damn guy. He'd whip it out and he'd be, you know, done in a second. I couldn't get into focus or nothing.
Man.
I just, you know, just couldn't get the shot. That's the truth right here.
Man. Those women must be disappointed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
JR, disappointing women across America.
I tell you, if I did get that picture, it wouldn't be bowling shoe ugly.
Oh,
Boomer Sooner.
Boomer Sooner.
Yeah.
One other thing I wanted to pick up on from the Legends Roundtable is it's a discussion that you never really got to finish with people, and it really seemed like you had a serious problem with Cyndi Lauper. Like, you just kind of hated her for some reason. I was kind of curious, what was that about?
Well, there's just certain things you don't do in this business. In this business, you do not snub people. You've got the secret handshake where you're coming in and you're shaking, and, you know, everybody who knows it knows it. Now, when I went and I was at, you know, like a little signing, you know, Cyndi Lauper was signing some autographs, you know, backstage at one of the WrestleManias. You know, I walked up to her and, you know, I've been a big fan. I'm all about the oombop and...
the oombop?
And the,
You mean the girls who just want to have fun?
And the girls who have fun, and the, what's another one of her tunes? I'm a big fan.
Clearly. Let's just keep going.
So I walked up to her, and I said, you know, Ms. Lauper, I'm a big fan, and would you sign this autograph for me? And she just walked away. Walked away. From good old JR. That was tough to swallow right there. Not even a case of JR's barbecue sauce could make that taste good.
Man, that just, I could see how that did not go down well.
Mm-mm, mm-mm. I mean, I was like, this young lady, she's going to be all about Jim Ross here. Mm-hmm. And I had the penis pills and everything. I was ready to go. But she stubbed me. That's it.
So turned down by Pat Patterson and Cyndi Lauper.
You know, I'm a straight shooter. I'm like the Duke, John Wayne. Yeah, that's my hero. If you don't know, but you know, I'll shoot you straight.
I can see that. Mm-hmm. We are getting the scoops here tonight on IYH Wrestling. Good old JR here with me right now, and I was just wondering if if you've had any contact with Dixie Carter and TNA and maybe coming in there.
Mm-hmm. Dixie Carter, another fine looking gal. No, I mean, you know, a Southern Belle. She's a good girl, but I don't know if they have what it takes to get me in that rinky dink company. I mean, does her asshole smell as good as Vince McMahon's? Probably not.
I don't know. There's only one way to find out, I guess.
I guess I'd kiss her ass right there on TNA television. I mean, who's going to see it? I mean, maybe three people?
That's true. I've watched a lot of wrestling lately, and almost none of it has been TNA.
You see, it's not, you know, terrible to be in a bad segment. When you're on, like, you know, you're on a television station that's only viewed by three people. I mean, God, they got Magnus as their champ right now. I mean, who cares?
Yeah, who's ever heard of a British champion? My goodness.
No, I certainly haven't.
I don't know. Now, you've been in the WWE for quite some time. You showed up on... WWE television wearing a toga. What did you think about that?
Well, you know, people think that I wouldn't like the toga, But I loved the thing. I was like, hell, you know, I don't have to wear the hat. You know, I just come out here and wear this toga. I mean, it's probably one of the greatest decisions Vince McMahon's ever made. God bless you, Vince. Thank you for making me wear a toga.
Thank you, Vince McMahon, for giving us togaed JR.
Yes, sir. I love that Vince McMahon.
Now,
God bless him.
God bless him. Mm-hmm. Now, when you were there at WrestleMania 9, wearing a toga,
greatest moment of my life.
We've talked about the couple of people who turned you down in your life, Pat Patterson and Cyndi Lauper. Who was trying to get under JR's toga that night? First day on the job, wearing a toga? What was the atmosphere like? Who was after you?
Well, you know, I don't want to out nobody on the show, but, you know, this is good old JR here, and I'm going to out somebody. Harvey Whippleman.
Harvey Whippleman?
Yep.
Downtown Bruno?
He was a little upset about his wife banging all the boys, and he just wanted to get back at her. And what way is better to get back at her than to go gay?
Man,
he was really lighting the loafers. That damn fucker was floating coming towards me,
and he got the job done, huh?
Sucked me all good.
There you go. So if you're looking for, you know, a little gay time, people, downtown Bruno, Harvey Whippleman is your man.
Wasn't bad as people think.
A blowjob's a blowjob, I guess.
I mean, you know, you're not gay unless, you know, you're the one giving it.
Well, there you go. That's a fun fact right there from JR here, kids.
I don't like admitting to all that, but, you know, I know where I'm at. I know I'm in the, you know, I'm being interviewed by a former president here. Probably going to be the first man.
It's true. I'm already measuring curtains again, but, one of my favorite things on wrestling history was when they brought into WCW a gentleman named Oklahoma. Mm. What did you think of Oklahoma?
Oklahoma, you know, I was just, you know, they just trying to get at the old JR. But, you know, JR, he's been ridden around like a horse around the arena by Bill Watts. I've been stuck in Vince McMahon's ass. Vince McMahon pulled my own head out of my own ass. Yeah, I mean, what the hell? This is wrestling business. I don't care about, you know, some guy pretending to be me. I mean, if I did, I mean, I might want to go kill that fucker.
There you go.
Just jump, bust down his door like good old John. Hello, Pilgrim. And then fill him full of bullets. Swiss cheese.
Now, Oklahoma was there, and he was managing Dr. Death, who was a good buddy of yours. Did it bother you more that Dr. Death was with him, or were you just cool with it? You knew he needed the paycheck.
You know, I was happy he was getting some work. You know, this is the wrestling business. You know, you got to feed your family. So Dr. Death, Steve Williams, he's always cool with me. I love that man.
I love
that. God rest his soul.
God rest his soul. Did now when WCW was on hitting on all cylinders and Nitro was setting the world on fire and quite frankly the WWF kind of sucked. Did you ever think, God, I wish I could go back?
Wait a minute. WWF, it never sucked. We were always putting out the quality program that everybody wanted to see. There was no matches on there. You know, they had the Mantar. Hell, I was a Mantar fan. I couldn't wait to see what would come out of the Mantar camp next. Goddamn Mantar.
I think Mantar needs to maybe go move himself into the Hall of Fame.
I mean, what more could you ask for? The man came out with a bull's head on top of his head. I mean, that was good stuff. You had El Gigante? I can't say it. I have trouble saying that sometimes. But El Gigante, he was the man. Had the suit. I mean, he had painted on muscles. What more could you ask for?
It was quite the atmosphere, but I guess my I will rephrase
no, talk
my
talk about
question.
The Max Moon. Oh my God.
Oh, the Max Moon, now that was quite the character right there. Mm. Good stuff. So let me rephrase my question.
Okay, rephrase your question.
I shouldn't have said that WWF sucked, because clearly it never did. It was always a quality product. Because, Vince McMahon is clearly a genius, as you've told me to say several times before this interview. Did you ever have conversations about going back to WCW during this time?
Never.
Even if not at all?
Never. 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 My home was with the WWF. I loved it there. Vince McMahon, he sometimes just walk up and he would just, I'd be working on something and I have some papers in my hands and he'd just take his hand and slap it out of my hands and say, "That's complete shit there, Ross." And you know what? The man was right. It was complete shit. And, I just admired the man so much. And his asshole smelled like flower petals.
Flower petal asshole? That's kind of that's a good nickname for someone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Old flowery ass.
Old flowery ass himself.
Home sweet home.
I once heard... A close personal friend of yours, Mean Gene.
Gino.
Yeah. He once mentioned that he took over the classic, 900-909-9900 number from you, and he says he really turned it around. Were you not putting out the scoops that Gene could get?
Now, Mean Gene's ass, it smelled like shit. I mean, everybody knew that. I mean, they know when Jim Ross is going to dish out the dirt, they know his dirt was good. Mean Gene would get on there, and he'd make up stuff, if you ask me. I mean, he would be on there talking about just the silliest stuff. Now, Jim Ross's dirt, now that was dirt. It was top-notch dirt.
Topsoil of dirt.
Yes, sir. Topsoil of dirt. I'd get on there and I'd be like, "This place is the shits. WCW, they suck. Goddamn, I wish I was in WWF." And then I'd just hang up the goddamn phone. Let people pay, $9.95 for that or whatever it was back in the day. 99 cents per minute. I'd really stretch it out, though. I'd say WCW is the shit. I'd have that tone, just.
You had a nice cadence where it took some time.
Yes, sir. Just take your time, draw it out, make sure that Mark just spills out all his money right there on your call. Just taking for every goddamn dime he's worth. That's the way the Duke would do it. Yeah. Shooting straight. Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
Now, I do want to ask a couple questions about Vince McMahon before we wrap up here.
Yes, sir. God Vince bless him.
He really likes to go out of his way to kind of embarrass you.
Nope. Right? No.
Do you disagree with this?
At what point did he try to embarrass me?
Well, it seems like any time you're in Oklahoma City, he'd either, put you in a match where you get your ass kicked or put you in situations that make you look silly or making you do dance-offs.
No, I hear all the marks on the internet talking about how he put me into situations that was embarrassing. And I just want to tell you something, because I take great offense, because that was what was best for business at the time. There was nothing wrong with Vince McMahon. If there was only one thing wrong about Vince McMahon, is that he wasn't a Sooner.
Not a Sooner. Mm-hmm. Some people have insinuated that Vince McMahon has kind of a sexual interest in his daughter. Have you found this to be the case?
Well, nobody's perfect. That's his cross to bear. I did go behind the stage every now and then. I'd catch the man just staring at the boobs. And I'd say, "Vince, And he wouldn't even flinch. It was like I wasn't even there. And I'd be like, Vince, over here, Vince. And then he would finally snap out of it and be like, well, what the hell do you want? And then I'd say, hey, I got some of my papers, you know, what you like to call shit. And, I've worked out, a few new hires, because I used to be the talent relations, guy in WWE. I'd sign everybody, all the big names in WWE, like Albert, I signed him. Tess, signed him. Who else did I sign? So many names, so many good talent, especially that Tess. He was good stuff. Sean Stasiak. Picked him up. Now, you going to tell me that's not a good track record? So I'd show Vince McMahon all this stuff, and he would just say, shit. And he'd just flip through the pages, pronouncing each one a shit. But I knew that was just his nature. He was just kind of ribbing me a little bit. Mm-hmm. Boomer Sooner. But, Vince McMahon, he had his problems. But, he was always a good dude. Good dude. Mm-hmm. So, been on this podcast for a while. I just want to know, if you had any more questions you want to throw my way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could take some more questions. No more questions. All right. I guess I've had enough of talking to you marks, bitching about Vince McMahon. He's gone all quiet on me. You might be a little light in loafers, Prez. So, if you ain't got any more questions for me, then to hell with you. That's right. That's what I just want to say. Everybody needs to tune in to the Ross Report. You can tune into it at I think it's the Podcast One or something like that. Yes, sir. That's where you can find me. So I'm out of here. Good old JR Boomer Sooner.
This is Samoa Joe. You're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.
Oh, Puerto Rico. And we're back. Welcome back, everyone, to In Your Head Wrestling Radio. And I introduced myself earlier. I am President Clinton, and tonight I am joined by a man who does this and he does that. He's as big as a bull and as quick as a cat. He looks fine. He looks cool. He's his own man, and he's nobody's fool. So don't you dare cross him or get in his way, because if you do, you're going to have to pay. To the man called
One Inch Biceps, the Power Goat. Ah! I'm the man who tells you what to do, and I can't believe I just come in here and I was, fiddling around with stuff, making sure the audio was good, and I just totally kicked it off where, Jim Ross was left on his own. It seemed like he got a little hot under his collar at us, and he just ended the interview.
Yeah, it was what happened, and we had a fun little interview with Jim Ross. I wish he could have been here for that. He's a big fan of yours.
Yeah, I'm just such a butterfinger, I just screwed it up. I'm sorry, guys. I know everybody was enjoying it in the chat, but these things happen. He's hard to get, booked for an interview, so I don't know if we'll be able to get him again.
It was tough getting this one, and he certainly would not return my calls after the disconnection happened.
Mm-hmm. So we might never see him again, or we might see him next week.
But you never know with Jim Ross. He's unpredictable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Big fan of yours, though. He was upset that you weren't here.
Yeah. I'm surprised he's a big fan of me, though.
Oh, yeah. Big fan. He says he takes a lot of inspiration from you when he does his podcast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, anybody would if they had any sense. We just had an interview with Jim Ross that beats every other Jim Ross interview ever done. He talked about some things that were just mind-blowing in that segment.
and other things being blown too, so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was good times. So, take that, Jack. Interview done.
Got that one out there.
Good
Got
job,
that President one. Clinton.
Interview of the year, I say.
it was some good stuff. So,
I thought so. So, Jack posted something on Facebook today that he wants to be known as the straight Liberace. And my first thought is, what is he trying to say about a man like Liberace in that statement?
Mm-hmm. You know, he did, like, sue people back in the day for insinuating that he might have been, you know, otherwise, anything other than straight.
Mm-hmm.
And he would win. He'd get a big payout from somebody who would say, you know, he wasn't on the up and up.
What do you think he wants to, you think just the, I don't know, Liberace, you think he just wants the attention, the clothes, and where do you think he's coming from with this?
Well, as long as it doesn't make me boober, I'm all right with it.
There we go. Jack is, he is going to the Mad Monster Party tomorrow, so that is why he is not here tonight.
He's been planning to have some podcasts. I don't know if he's going to do Without Your Head, you know, on the road or not. But he might. I don't know. I've been trying to help him connect to the stream, so who knows?
Yeah, I've heard some rumors that I think he said that he was going to try to do a short show at the end of each night of the Mad Monster Party. So if you are a Without Your Head listener, be on the look for that. Follow him on the Facebook, most likely, and you'll get all your updates there. He'll certainly take some pictures of himself at the airport or something.
Yes, as long as his camera's not jacked.
That's true. Even then, I'm sure his cell phone will do it. And
yeah, that's true.
You can follow along.
I forget about him having a cell phone. He hasn't had a cell phone for a good while I've known him, but recently he's had one. So. Within the last few years.
I even have the phone number.
Ah!
I know.
Very elite list there.
I'm not. Well, let's just say that it is. So certain people don't try to harass and get it. But Mad Monster Party in Charlotte's actually got some big-name wrestling guests that are going to be there.
It's so strange, but it seems like they get, like, better wrestling guests than the wrestling cons do sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got, you're going to have Mean Gene, Jimmy Hart, Roddy Piper, and Hulk Hogan.
Yowzer. Could you imagine that at a wrestling convention?
I know. I mean, they had the Four Horsemen at the Legends Fan Fest, and, you know, they had Sting there, but Hulk Hogan, Roddy Piper, Mean Gene, all at the same time. I know it's a horror convention, but that's a pretty big wrestling lineup right there.
That it is. Maybe Jack will get some interviews. Who knows?
We can only hope. I would like to see him there standing next to the Hulkster.
He might get yelled at that the salad dressing ain't quite right. Or, who knows?
You never know. Mm-hmm. But there will be videos to let us all see what's going on, one way or the other.
All righty. President Clinton, myself, the man who tells you what to do. But I don't know if I can do that because you're the commander-in-chief. Kick-ass.
I am the Commander-in-Chief Kick-Ass, but go on. You can tell these other podcast marks what to do.
We are going to talk about some wrestling podcast marks, and we are going to talk about everything.
God, did I watch too much wrestling this week.
You know, with the advent of the WWE network, I have watched a lot of wrestling, more than I figured I would.
I did too, and I feel compelled to watch some of these things. Because they're live.
Yeah, and like NXT.
NXT, and I watched the main event yesterday. The last 2 weeks I have watched the main event, which means in my lifetime I have watched the main event twice.
Yeah, it does make you want to watch it more. I mean, I didn't watch it live, but I just caught it on the, the on-demand
thing. Yeah. I watched it. I was watching Raw Monday, and they're like, and tomorrow night on the network, main event, The Undertaker will be there. And I'm like, what?
God damn it. That means I got to watch it. I was kind of the same way because I totally written off main event. And I was like, well, I don't have to watch it. And then they're like, The Undertaker's going to be there. And I was like, well, I guess I got to watch it.
Yeah, so I watched NXT, I watched Main Event, I watched Raw, hell, I watched Total Divas. No. I can't be bothered to watch TNA, though.
I actually watched TNA, and I'll be damned if I can recall anything. I'm sure if somebody brings up something, I'll remember, but just off the top of my head right now, I don't know. I've seen a lot of wrestling programs, and I can't recall if they did anything that was that big on the show.
See, that I think that might be kind of the problem I'm in. Is I have watched all these wrestling shows. Hell, I watched those wrestling shows. I watched the WrestleMania Rewind on John Cena, which was what it was. But I watched that.
I watched that as well.
And then because I was too lazy to get up, I watched the WWE Countdown show that came on after that.
Was your remote out of batteries or your controller or whatnot?
It was over on the other side. I just didn't get up.
So what countdown was it?
The top 10 backstabs.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. I watched the catchphrase one, but that's the only one I've seen of that.
I think that was the first one, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I think I saw that one, too. Because it comes on after WrestleMania Rewind, which I really enjoy, but I don't know.
Countdown, not so much.
It is what it is. It's, I guess it's good background noise, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
TNA.
Is that an endorsement for it?
Well, I will tell you what. I used to use Netflix. It's just kind of background music. No, not background music, but background noise as I do stuff. Because I like to have the TV on or something on, and I do a lot of stuff on the computer, and I listen to it. And if something catches my interest in my ear, I turn to watch it. And I used to be just random stuff on Netflix shows and different stuff. But, hell, now I can just throw on the network, and they'll be, like, showing this old Boston Garden House show, and I can turn, and when I hear that Pedro Morales is fighting a moon dog, and I'll be like, well, I can skip and ignore that one. Mm-hmm. But then they put a Bobby Backlund in a cage with Stan Hansen. I'll watch that.
You gotta see that one. That's pretty cool how they put on old house shows and stuff. I know they did that on WWE Classics as well, so not sure if they've released any new ones, but that people haven't seen, which I haven't seen any of them, or honestly. I know Jack sent me a few back in the days, but I had to check them out. It's good stuff, seeing some old stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe if I kind of do like you do, like just not really pay that much attention to it, unless there's something on there that I want to see, I could probably stomach a lot more of it.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes when I'm doing something, I'll like, I just need background noise, so I'll throw on, like, This Tuesday in Texas. Do I care to watch the Bulldog Warlord match? Nah, no. But when Randy Savage and Jake the Snake roll around, I'll tune in for that one.
See, I torture myself. It's just like, when I'm watching a program, I have to watch each and every minute of it. And I think I just burned myself out on stuff like that. It's like, man, it's all those bad matches I have to watch to get to the good stuff.
I watched
takes a toll on you.
Super Brawl 7 the other day, and that was probably the best wrestling I watched this week. That was a good show. So everyone, I mean, the of course the finish to the main event
because it was WCW was screwy, but really good show up and down, other than the finish to the Piper Hogan match. I thought it was a pretty good show.
I haven't watched too many old pay-per-views, but I did start up Great American Bash 92, I think, because I wanted to see Vader and Sting at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I got up to, like, the Michael Hayes match, and Michael Hayes and Jimmy Jam. Not our Jimmy Jam, but, you know.
Jimmy Jam Garvin.
Mm-hmm. And they're taking on somebody. I forget who it was. And my internet kind of played out, and I just never got back around to watching it. But
oh, man.
I hope that match is good at the end.
Well, there you go. You'll have to catch back up. I don't remember that match. I haven't, that's not one I've rolled around to yet, the Great American Bash 9-2.
Mm-hmm. But I know Jack, he said Sting and Vader had some good matches, and I'm just really not that familiar with Vader stuff. Like, I know who he is, and I know he's a big name and everything, but I never did watch him back in the day. That was kind of when I wasn't watching.
Yeah, there's good Vader stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, those 92, 93 WCW pay-per-views, you'll see a lot of good Vader stuff.
Yeah, so I got to check out that. I know he said he had some good matches with Mick Foley and stuff, so maybe I should just fast-forward to the match, but I feel like I have to watch the show just to be watching it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, because I'm watching some of these pay-per-views, and I've got them on, and I'm like, I know it's what I want to watch on this card, but I feel dirty if I skip the Johnny B. Bad versus, you know, somebody match.
Yeah. It's hard to resist that temptation, though.
Yeah.
Just fast forward.
I did have a question about TNA for you, and maybe you can remember this. I would think this would be something you would remember from your watching.
Mm-hmm.
Dixie Carter is no longer in charge. So is she on the show at all?
This week she was not on the show. They just had Rockstar Spud and I think it was Magnus come out. And they kind of held like a funeral almost for her, or what do you call that? Just like a, you know, remembering Dixie Carter segment, and there,
okay.
Rockstar Spud was all crying and stuff, and then it got interrupted by who was it? I think it was who was it? I guess it was MVP. Yeah, I think it was, because he hit Rockstar Spud with the big. They had this big picture of Dixie Carter, like, in the middle of the ring, and then I think he hit Rockstar Spud with it, and looked like he was trying to, like, put his head through it, so, like, it's kind of, like, hanging around his neck, but didn't quite work out like that. So, no, she is not on the program, though, in answer to your question, this week. I'm not sure if she's going to be on any up-and-coming weeks or what. So, I'm sure she will, because, God, you know she can't stand not being on camera.
Not being on camera and telling people to follow her Twitter and
mm-hmm.
all that fun stuff. So
I know MVP's in charge, y'all. But you need to follow my Twitter, y'all. Follow my Twitter, Dixie Carter. At Dixie Carter.
I don't know. I really had intentions to watch Impact this week, but
that just gave me a thought. Book the Dixie Carter, no.
Next time I'm on the show, we just might get Dixie Carter.
You never know.
Keep that. Remember what you did to make that voice. I mean, we'll get Dixie Carter.
Let's see. Let's see the time signature here.
I meant to watch TNA this week, but I decided to watch NXT. Because it's live, and I don't. Maybe Impact was live this week, but I'm of the mindset that they're like 6 months in the can right now, so it doesn't seem like something I have to watch. But I've watched NXT each week since it's been on now, and they had the NXT Arrival, which is a pretty good show, really good show, I thought. And
that was a fun show.
But my God, these last 2 weeks of NXT, they suck. It is boring.
I watched last week, and it was all right, but I wasn't too crazy about what I saw, and that Neville guy is a pretty bad interviewer.
Oh, horrible.
And I know they're, like, developmental kids and stuff, but it's like, man.
Well, I don't know. And I've got a theory on this, but the way people used to talk was that NXT was by far the greatest produced wrestling program ever. Better than Raw, better than SmackDown. I mean, that's what people were saying. It's like, oh, well, Raw sucks, but NXT is great. They got to bring up all these guys. And
you need to check those people for, like, crystal meth or something.
Well, I mean, there was a ton of them. I mean, they're all over the internet. And they're like, oh, my God, NXT's the best. Oh, my God.
The drug epidemic in this country, it's a pretty bad situation.
It is pretty rough, but I think it's a similar thing of...
they get all hopped up on the crystal meth and watch the NXT, and they're like, it's the best thing ever, man.
I will say, now that more people can watch it, I think those people who are going to say that it was awesome are going to quickly backtrack and talk about how it's been ruined and stuff like that. Now that, I don't know, I guess now that Triple H is paying attention to it maybe or something, but mm-hmm. they're going to say it's ruined. But I have this theory. It's like the people who are really into indie wrestling, stuff nobody else watches, and they tell you how awesome it is.
Yeah.
Because no one else is watching it. They don't want to feel like they've wasted their time, so they're going to hype this thing up to no end. And then you finally go in and watch it, and then you talk to them about it, and they're like, oh, yeah, that was a bad one. I'm like, they all probably sucked there, buddy.
It's like all of a sudden they just start sucking. So as soon as they're on the WWE Network.
As soon as, you know, more than four people see it, the program starts to suck for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. NXT, God, it was boring. There's started a bad ladies match, and then they had a bad tag team match. And
so there's a reoccurring theme here.
Yeah, bad. And I don't know. Maybe it'll turn it around. Like I said, the little pay-per-view thing they did was fun. And I didn't know any storylines going into that or anything, but I thought it was all built well. But just bland matches, bad interviews. I don't know. I'm not sure live is the best thing for NXT. Maybe they need a little bit of editing.
Maybe. You know, I guess I just kind of written it off. Like Thursday night, I'm just like, I think I've just had my fill of wrestling. It does make it more tempting to watch because I know it's live. But
yep.
Other than that, I don't know. It's like, I know it's live, but what is it really I want to see on there? I can just watch the tapes, I guess.
That's true.
You know, and it's always available on the on demand, so who knows? Well, I'll just watch that. Well, anyways, the wrestling world, it was brought... I don't know what I was going to say, but like it was shaken down to its core when Triple H announced that it will be a three-way at WrestleMania.
What did you think about this? Because I'm a fan.
You know, I don't have a problem with it. I think, you know, before it was like, if you beat me, Daniel Bryan goes on to have, a three-way. And it's like, this makes it a little more unpredictable. It's like,
exactly. That's what I think about it, too. I mean... Everyone, you kind of assume Daniel Bryan's going to win, but there's a distinct possibility that Triple H might win too. So it does make it more interesting. You don't exactly know what's going to happen. Before you did, when it was only Daniel Bryan could be in that main event.
Yeah,
there's no way that that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, I still feel like Daniel Bryan will win, but.
I think he will, too, but...
it's still just that little thing in the back of my head that's like, they might actually have Triple H beat him. He'll go on into the main event just because they want to piss off the fans.
I'm thinking the same thing. I'm like, there's a distinct possibility that they just want to, you know, give the old middle finger and have Triple H walk out with the belt that night.
That would be something. I mean, it would be terrible, but, I mean, I could see him doing it.
I could see him doing it, too, but it does add more interest to that match for me.
Oh, God, yeah. Batista versus Randy Orton, it was just like, I just didn't care.
No, not at all.
What was the feud there? I mean, and Batista's just coming out, and he's like, you fans, you suck. But that's all right, because you tell me how you feel. It's like, what? What kind of feud is this? And then Randy Orton would just come out and say, Batista, they're all saying you suck. And he'd be like, I know, Randy. And that was it.
That was it.
So, thank God they've made the match into something that I actually care about. And if it is, like, if, you know, Triple H going on to the main event, I'll probably enjoy that a little bit, too, just so I can come on here and bitch about it.
It's certainly better having Triple H in a three-way with those two, worst-case scenario, than Orton-Batista.
Oh, God. I mean, nobody wants to see that match.
No, not at all.
I'm sure there's somebody out there who's on crystal meth and the Oxycontin, and who knows what else that wants to see that. Not I, sir. Not I.
Nor do I. What are your thoughts? Because I haven't had a chance to talk with you about this, about the Andre the Giant 30-man over the top battle royal.
Well, I'll let you share some of your thoughts, but I really dig the trophy. I think the trophy's kicks ass.
I want whoever wins to carry that trophy around for like the whole year. They just carry it to the ring with them and be like, I'm the Andre the Giant over the top rope battle royal champion.
I'm telling you right now, if they make a replica of that, it's going to be pretty hard to resist the temptation of buying that one.
You're going to buy yourself a giant Andre trophy?
Yes, because it's like, a belt, you know, everybody's got the belt, but I don't know if I could resist buying the Andre trophy.
I might have to get one of those for my mantle.
I'm sure it won't be like this long, drawn-out match or anything, because normally whenever you have a battle royal, they just kind of throw everybody out pretty quickly. But I'm all right with it. We've had battle royals at WrestleMania before, so
yeah, we've had them, but they're always kind of just like thrown out. They're actually trying to make this seem like a big deal, so I like that. And you know, I hope they kind of bring in some guys from the past for it too, and do some fun stuff like that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I like how everybody just kind of announces that they're in it. You know, the people that they don't have anything better to do at WrestleMania. Zack Ryder announced that he was going to be in it.
Ryback is in it. Big Show is in it.
Yeah, Big Show was just kind of like, oh, yeah, okay.
You know, you'd think he'd get out there and say, you know, I want to win this one in honor of my dad. It's the Andre the Giant over the top rope battle royal.
I guess he never did like being, like, you know, announced as Andre's son.
He's got to live up to it. I mean, he is a giant. He is of the giant family. I just think he's got to embrace his family roots there. So maybe this will be the nudge in the right direction.
Good old Andre the Giant.
I'd like to see the Hulkster actually win this battle royal.
Just come out and be like, I'm throwing all you jabronis out, and he just throws them all out.
He should literally eliminate everyone by himself.
Give me that fucking trophy. It's mine.
And then after he wins the Andre the Giant battle royal, he will come out after Triple H wins the title and then beat him and become the champion too.
Awesome.
Can you imagine what the marks would do if Daniel Bryan loses the match, Triple H goes to the main event, wins the belt, and then Hulk Hogan comes out and beats him for the belt.
I imagine they would be pretty upset. But
I will tell you what, that would probably be my favorite WrestleMania ever, but there would be such a backlash. It would be awesome.
Well, Hogan, he could take his belt, and he could take the Andre trophy that he just won and bring it back to his store, and he could just set it up on display, and a bunch of fat chicks can come in and steal it.
There you go. I wonder if he ever got his Thunder Lips robe back from...
From
Matt Morgan.
Greasy redneck Matt Morgan.
It wasn't Thunder Lips robe. I guess it was whatever he wore against Andre the Giant in Shea Stadium. But yeah. I'm going to call it the Thunder Lips robe now. But
God, I hated seeing Matt Morgan come out in that. It was just like, what a waste. Of all people to give that robe to, why Matt Morgan?
And it never ended up going anywhere.
No. Never did. He was just like, he would always come around and be like, Hulk Hogan, you're a fucking asshole. And then it never led to a match. Hulk Hogan just left TNA, and then Matt Morgan got ousted.
Well, I think Matt Morgan left first, actually.
He was like, you know what? I'm not doing a goddamn thing in this company. I'm just going to leave.
Well, you know, he got picked up real quick by WWE, too.
And then those Matt Morgan chants in the Impact Arena. Oh, my gosh, it won't stop. They're just like, Matt Morgan. Matt Morgan. Where's my Matt Morgan? You know, it's good stuff.
Good stuff. All right, so Hulk Hogan winning the title, WrestleMania, beating Triple H. That's what we need.
You're not going to let this die, are you?
I have been predicting Hulk Hogan is going to walk out of WrestleMania champion for quite some time now, and it's going to happen.
I know I'm just the host of this thing, brother, but I just think you need to give me a title shot right here, right now.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. As host to WrestleMania, I got matchmaking power. So right now, you and me.
It's matchmaking power. He just makes himself into the heavyweight championship match.
Exactly. Awesome. Exactly. I like it. what else what do I want to talk about on Raw?
You want to talk about plenty of things that was on the Monday Night Raw. But I think the thing you want to talk about most is the only thing that's popping into my head right now, and that's Goldust being pissed off at the end of his match.
Yeah, he was pissed. I don't know if he actually got hurt or something or what, but...
At one point, it did look like he got hurt, and it looked like the match was not going the way that he wanted it. Because I know there was one spot where Goldust kind of scared, Mrs. Fandango off the apron and Cody caught her. And Cody just, like, stood there holding her forever. And, like, I think Fandango was supposed to see him and, like, you know, kind of, like, say, hey, what are you doing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think Fandango just didn't do it. He never saw him and he just didn't think to do it or something. And the match was really off towards the end, so...
Yeah, it was off. It was weird, and then Goldust was pissed at the end. It looked like, I don't know, like maybe... It's like holding his wrist or something. Maybe he broke his wrist, or I don't know.
But he was on, you know, main event the next night, so
that's true.
He was all right.
Yeah, that's true. He was on the main event.
Mm-hmm. So, but I saw him kick the turnbuckle, and it just...
Yeah, it seemed out of place.
Mm-hmm.
Because he won the match.
Yeah, it's like he shouldn't be mad about losing, so... I'd say he was legitimately pissed off right there. Because there's no other explanation for it.
No.
Like, I mean, he won the match.
Yeah, I don't know what he was mad about, but... whatever. It all worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, it didn't work out. He was upset.
We have the beatdown of Daniel Bryan at the end of Monday Night Raw by Triple H. Did you like how that whole thing was played out?
I enjoyed that. I didn't. I saw it coming when it happened. But I was kind of confused where they were going at it when Triple H was being – I kept thinking to myself, well, he's about to kick him in the gut eventually.
He actually had me going. I was thinking, man, he's kind of like being a face with Daniel Bryan here.
Yeah, he did a good job of it. And I liked that he – as soon as he said, you know, those aren't even real cops, I'm like, oh, something good is about to happen here.
Yeah, he's like, besides, you're all not even real cops. Nah, I've been waiting to do this all night, or something like that. And then he just starts beating up on him.
Beating the shit out of him, and then Stephanie's trying to yelling at him to drown him in the little thing of water they have there.
Drown him in the thing of water! I didn't catch that. What was she just yelling? Just like
she's just yelling at him to drown him because they had this like I guess it was like a it's just like a one of those long short. It's not a bucket, but it's like a bucket. They must have had like ice in it and like bottled water or something, just to have it there by ringside. And so it was like melted ice, and Triple H was putting his head into it. And she was yelling at him to, you know, drown him.
I like when she starts slapping him, and he just looked at her and started yelling, "You hit like a
you
girl.
Hit like a girl."
But it was
I like that.
I was just thinking, well, she is a girl. I mean, is he trying to insinuate something else?
Yeah, I didn't quite get that. I thought maybe that was what he was. I don't know. Who knows where they were going with that? But I thought that was good. Maybe it went a little too long, but it. I thought it was good. I am more interested in the match now than I had been last week. I will say that.
They even put up the graphic for like, you know, like the copyright thing, and you know, and that normally shows that the show's about to go off.
But they even, kept going.
They kept it going. Just the beat down just never end. And you probably tuned into like the after show, and he probably still was beating on him. And they're just talking about it.
Yeah, they just got, I don't know, whatever old-timer they have up there, jumping Jim Brunzel up there on the stage with Josh Matthews, and like, oh, still kicking the crap out of him.
You know, Triple H is beating his ass good. Beating him good.
Beating him good.
So, I don't know, have you ever tuned in for an after show?
God, no. By the time I've gotten through 3 hours of Raw, 3 hours and 15 minutes with the overrun, I'm ready for, if I have not fallen asleep yet, I am ready for bed.
Yeah, I've checked out one, and that will probably be the only one that I'll ever watch. It had Hacksaw Jim Duggan on it, so. And well, they were fairly short. They were only like 15 minutes, I'd say, so. But, yeah, I don't know. Raw after show.
It's just, and they've got a pre-show too. I've never tuned in for that. I don't know. I'm just not ready for wrestling at, I guess, 7:30.
Yeah, I can't tune in for that.
I'm barely ready for wrestling at 8:00 on Monday, but.
I just always tape everything and then just watch it later on for the most part. It is tempting to watch Raw because it is live. You know, it's not in the can, but. Still, even then, I don't watch it sometimes.
I probably wouldn't watch it live if it wasn't for the chat room. I do. I join them in there. There was a while where I wouldn't watch the first hour, 90 minutes or so, and then I would tune in at 9:00, 9:30, and I would DVR through stuff and catch up.
Yeah.
But I've been trying to watch the whole thing straight through, and that's probably why I've been falling asleep at around 10:15 and some nuts.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much wrestling.
Batista and Randy Orton seemed pretty upset that Triple H added himself to the match. Batista did this whole thing where he was going to walk out. He was upset. He's like, I think coming back here was just a big mistake. And then he left. But that was just to set up for a spot later on.
He came out and Batista bombed Orton, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Then he said, I'm still going to be at the WrestleMania because I want that belt.
I want the belt. Let's see, what else happened?
I'm racking my brains here trying to think of things that happened on Raw, but nothing's really...
Titus O'Neil came out wearing a fake red beard.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Had a match with Sheamus.
I guess he was saying he was Irish because of the O'Neil.
O'Neil, I guess, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, he's weird.
It was St. Patrick's Day Monday night. So
that's true. Then they
also had the leprechaun out there.
They threw out Hornswoggle to be out there with Sheamus because, you know, they're of Ireland.
I just think Sheamus is just like, please don't put the leprechaun with me. Please don't do that. And then it's like, it just so happened that, St. Patrick's Day landed on a Monday. And they're like, you know what's happening tonight, Sheamus?
Oh, God. Yeah. Hornswoggle had to have had that Monday circled on his calendar for months. He's like, I'm going to be on the show.
I'm actually going to be there this time. He grew his hair out. He was just, I don't know. He looked different.
Yeah. So that was that, and the one Funkadactyl wears an eye patch now because Oksana need the fuck out of her eye.
I'm not really laughing about that she has to wear the eye patch, but it's like, my God, what? I still don't understand why she just hit her in the eye with her knee.
And she pissed her off or something.
I guess so, but it's like, if she pissed her off that bad and you destroyed somebody's orbital bone, don't you think they would fire her?
I don't know.
I mean, she is a pretty, big name just because of the Total Divas stuff, but, man, Oksana's still around, so it's, I don't know. But I do like the eye patch. I think it looks pretty cool.
I think it looks pretty horrible, but... She's got, a glittery eye patch.
I don't know why, but I kind of like it.
All right, well, okay.
It makes me think she's, a pirate or something.
Well, it just makes me think, is she that necessary to your show where you need her out there to wear an eye patch and come out there?
Yes.
I guess they need to film stuff for Total Divas or something, but I think
And plus, it just came back on the air this week, so maybe they want to make sure that she's out there so people can see her. So
I will want to see what the Total Divas behind-the-scenes scuttlebutt is about the knee to the face.
Yeah, that was one of the highlights on it, too, so. Man. Knee to the face.
Now, I wonder if this was all...
You'll want some ratings. Oksana will give you some ratings.
Maybe.
Knee the bitch in the face.
Maybe this was all planned, you know. They
I'll crush her face. You know, I'll get your ratings.
Flair tells a story about how in the backstage, to make something look good, Harley Race just clocked Steamboat in the eye and then sandpapered him down so the beatdown would look real good. You know, legitimately beat the shit out of him and then sandpapered the wound to make it look good and build money or build heat for the next show. Maybe this was all planned for Total Divas. They, you know, they had P.S. Hayes take Oksana aside and say, hey, Oksana, here's the deal, babe. We need ratings. Knee the fuck out of Naomi.
just destroy.
Just knee her right in the eye. Do it. Don't make it look like you've tripped or anything, because it doesn't look like she tripped and fell. Like she just bam.
I could see maybe if her knee gave out, maybe, but I don't know. It just looked like she just totally kneed her right in the face.
I think she just kneed her in the face.
Just bam, right there. Bam. Dang, bad times for her. Poor Naomi.
Bad times indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what else happened.
I had something there, but I done forgot it. We're excellent recappers here.
I'm sure there was, I don't know, Kofi Kingston had a match. I'm sure he lost.
Well, talk about The Undertaker on Main Event.
He came out, it was more so a Paul Heyman promo.
Yeah, Paul Heyman did his whole thing just saying he
yeah.
was an advocate for Brock Lesnar, and he just wanted to tell Undertaker some things, and then Undertaker just came out, and he was like, choking Paul Heyman, and he was like, Joey Brock, blah, blah, blah.
I was wondering how they were going to do this, because I'm watching Main Event, and I'm watching it, and I'm watching it, and I'm looking, I'm like, wow, shit, it's 9:50. This thing wraps up at 10, but it takes the Undertaker 20 minutes to walk to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do here? And then I'm watching, and out comes Paul Heyman. And, I'm thinking, well, they're going to run out of time because Undertaker certainly can't make it to the ring in 5 minutes.
No, sir.
But the lights go dim and he just appeared there, so.
Yep, he was behind Paul Heyman and he goozled him. And he kind of cut a promo. I thought it was a pretty good promo how he was just looking
yeah.
all crazy into Paul Heyman's face.
I liked it. I thought it was good. I am more excited about WrestleMania than I was 2 weeks ago.
It's starting to feel like WrestleMania.
It's starting to feel like it a little more. I still don't think this is going to be a top-notch WrestleMania or anything yet, but there's enough stuff on the show that I want to see. I'm now interested in the Triple H match, and whomever goes into that title match I think will make it more interesting, and the Hulkster being there helps, and Undertaker Lesnar is an interesting match. You think Lesnar will win and end the streak, but I think it'll be a brutal match either way. And I don't know. I don't care about John Cena and Bray Wyatt at all. But
Brock Lesnar could probably just get in the ring, and he could probably just swat his hand a few times. And just so much force from him just doing that, it would probably just make Undertaker's bones just break because he's an old man now. It'll just fall, crumple over. Then Brock just pins him, and the streak's over. It will end at this WrestleMania. Brock Lesnar is the beast incarnate. The Undertaker will not slay him. The streak is over this week, this WrestleMania.
It probably is. I want to...
Nobody's agreed with me before. I don't know what to do now.
See, this is just my polite segue. Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying. I'm totally listening, absolutely. What I was going to say is we have briefly touched on the subject of Total Divas. And then the marks in the chat room, they're all talking about, I don't even watch Total Divas. I'm still clean. I wouldn't even watch that if I depended on it. Well, I'll tell you what, you marks, I didn't either. I didn't watch it at all last season. But now I'm going to, and I'm going to talk about it. You know why? Because it pisses you all off so much, it entertains me.
I mean, I honestly can't understand why people hate the show so much. I mean, it's garbage television, and it's reality television, but if you can watch reality television, how could you not watch something that involves people who are in the wrestling business and you're a wrestling fan?
There is almost no bigger visceral reaction to anything that happens on this show other than the Total Divas recap. People hate it. They despise it. They're like, oh my God, I don't want to listen to this anymore. Oh my God, I can't believe they're talking about this. I'm such a manly man. Well, it entertains me to no end that it pisses you off. So I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to talk about it. And you better hope that Jack doesn't take any more trips or decides he wants to go somewhere on a Wednesday, because if he does, you are going to hear about Total Divas.
Mark Wahlberg in here, he says it's sometimes good for fat material. And it's like, he's just watching that and that gets him going.
I don't know. I don't understand. People like, oh yeah, I watch these diva matches because they're so hot. I'm like, dude, there's this thing called the internet.
And pornography.
They've got chicks actually doing it on there. You can find whatever you want. You can even find naked chicks wrestling and, you know, other stuff like that. What's her name? Who's on the show? Who has been on the show?
Trina Michaels.
Trina Michaels. She's got some of those out there.
I just wish she could do a little bit more offense. But
she's not very good, though. She gets beat quite a
every
bit.
Every time. Just, her shoulders always pinned right down. I mean, she can't do anything. She's just, I don't know. Just not very good at that game, I guess. But for some reason, I find it all so enjoyable.
Do you really need to watch any more than like 10 minutes of it, though?
Well, if you do, you're probably deranged or something. The excitement level goes up. It goes up, and then it just goes away.
You know what, though? Talking about excitement level, Ultimate Beef, nobody is going to rein in Renegade Prez. Nobody. If I'm on here, I'm talking Total Divas because it pisses people off. And you know what? You fans can stick it, brother.
I mean, I know people think that I probably do it just because it pisses people off. But I honestly enjoy the program. I don't know why.
Yeah, you have your reasons, and now I have mine.
Well, that's fine. I'll take anybody who's going to join us. Whatever your reasons may be, because I don't know, it seems like a lot of people hate it. But
I don't want to talk about it yet because I have things to talk about because I did watch the show. But we'll wait for when we take calls and when we bring Dwayne in, and then we'll talk Total Divas.
It'll that segment is approaching very soon because it seems like we can't think of things to talk about
anymore.
That's
true. We're running out of stuff, so we're going to get to the big main event of the evening. This show. You know, we've had JR on, we've talked about Raw, we talked about a whole bunch of network stuff. I mean, we're covering ground here, but...
Yes, sir.
Soon, the main event segment, what everyone's here to listen for, the Total Divas recap.
It's Mark Wahlberg's posting some GIFs of Total Divas, where Naomi's just turning around and you see her ass bouncing. She's in a bikini.
Oh my.
Think we'll have to take a break soon.
Whenever you're ready.
Oh, let me check. I'm ready now. I'm just kidding. But, yeah, so Total Divas. We'll have some discussion about that. We'll have some discussion about whatever you want to talk about in the wrestling world. John Cena, let's talk about that for a minute. He came out, and he actually seemed like he wants to run an angle with Bray Wyatt now.
Yeah, I think... people will say what they will about John Cena. I more or less think he is very good. I mean, I think in... Dwayne and I were talking about this earlier. I agree with him where I think in the future people are going to look back and think, John Cena, quality guy. I mean, he is very much in that Bret Hart mold of wrestler. Not technical skill-wise, but leading an era and being the top guy and doing his part to keep wrestling alive. He's not Hulk Hogan. He's not Bruno Sammartino, but he's in that Backlund Bret Hart sort of reign. And I think he's pretty good at what he does. And people, I think in the future, will look back fondly. Now they're sick of him, but it is what it is.
The man has staying power. I'll give him that. Despite being booed all the time. I don't know. I just don't think I could put up with that long. It's like, these people hate me. Could I go away for a little while? But he doesn't take vacations. He never leaves.
No.
He's always there.
Even when he gets injured. He comes back like 6 months early.
He probably likes talking Total Divas too. He's just like, I like it when these people hate me so much. I just need to come out there and just bore them all to death. I love it.
Won't marry anyone, won't have no kids.
Oh, we're definitely talking about that shit. That is just a funny segment, just seeing him. And he's like, no, I don't want no kids. And then she leaves him. Okay, we'll get into that later on, though. But yeah, but he come out and he actually cut a promo on Bray Wyatt. It wasn't just him making fun of him. He announced that he was scared of Bray Wyatt and, you know, what he represents and everything. So I thought it was a pretty good promo, you know, to do an angle with Bray Wyatt. It
yeah.
wasn't just him coming out and saying, oh, well, he's just a booger. Or whatever he wants to call him.
You, sir, Bray Wyatt, are a duty head.
I take great offense to that, John. I take great offense to that.
You do pretty good, Bray Wyatt. We might have to have him on the show, too.
Well, book it. I'm going to go into that WrestleMania. I'm going to show him where the buzzers come from.
Well, maybe someone has some bad news for you, Bray Wyatt.
hang on.
May I have some to come, please?
How does he do it? I thought this was easier than it looks.
It seems I've got some bad news. In Your Head Online is going to go to a commercial break where you will be listening to the same old goddamn tunes the Inch has been playing for the last decade or so. Enjoy the tunes, and when they come back, they'll be talking Total Divas. Thank you.
Hey, this is Big Sexy Kevin Nash. You're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com, the only place to hear people like me tell it like it really is.
All right, and we are back. And God, we are back for what everyone is wanting to hear. No, not just the caller segment, which quite often is the highlight of the show, according to most people.
Mm-hmm.
Not just that, but we are also going to talk about Total Divas, aren't we, Incher?
Yes, sir. Total Divas!
Yes.
Jimmy Jam is excited about this.
He is.
Keep it down until you're called on, Jimmy Jam.
He cannot control his excitement about the one and only Total Divas, which who could blame him? We got our official In Your Head correspondent for Total Divas coming back for the big return, none other than Dwayne.
It is good to be back. It's been a some long, hard months, but now I finally have a reason to live again.
Mm-hmm. Total Divas is back on the air. Everything is right with the world. Dwayne is happy.
That's right.
I'm happy. President Clinton is happy because he just joined us in the Total Divas celebration. He has watched his first episode of Total Divas, and he is going to continue throughout the season.
That's right. And, you know, Prez, he's stealing my thunder a little bit, but I'm not going to turn this call into a pissing contest because I know that my piss is stronger than yours.
your piss is, I won't even deny it. Who even says that?
Somebody did say that on the
No
paper.
One.
Who did say that?
Maddie said that.
Maddie said that. My piss is stronger than yours.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Drunk Natalia is just a thing to behold. When she's on that program, she's up there and she's trying to dance with Vinny, the most annoying male on the universe.
She's slutting it up.
and she's pissing off, which one? One of the Funkadactyls there. Which one is it, Dwayne?
Oh, Ariane, yeah.
Ariane.
Freaking drunk dial on Stephanie.
And she went, you know, out, you know, she was getting pissed and she had to have a talk with Natalia. And she brought her outside, you know, and she's talking to her outside the club that they were at. And then she was just giving her all kinds of hell. And then this police officer just popped out of nowhere and he's like, you're all going to have to calm down or you're both going to jail. And they just ran back inside and they just start laughing about it.
classic Total Divas. Why were they even out there? They just wanted to show Natty being slutty, huh?
I think that was the point of that entire segment, is just showing Natty being slutty.
It's foreshadowing to something, because they tease that she doesn't know what doggy style is for a few episodes from now, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't know what doggy style is. I mean, how could a person not know what doggy style is?
I'm going to be honest. I don't think her and Tyson Kidd have spent 1 second of their life not on professional wrestling.
Well, their cat died last season, and they were all upset about that.
Yeah, but what did they do to get over it? They wrestled.
That is true. And they got another cat that looked just alike.
That's right. That to me, that's strange to me. I love my dog, but if it died, I wouldn't just get a dog that looked just like it. You go, well, that's a little list.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess your impulse just to go out and just replace the animal, it's hard to resist, but I guess it works sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know, but we skipped over the big news here of the whole season. Mm-hmm. And that is that JoJo is no more.
No. They got rid of her.
They don't even mention her. They're just, she's not there.
And she's been replaced by Summer Rae, who immediately is like a million times more entertaining.
They really wrote JoJo off with nothing there. I don't know if I can blame them. She wasn't, I don't know.
Well, you didn't watch last season, but by like the last 3 or 4 episodes, she was just like not even mentioned.
Well, I don't know. She just was not, she looked so young and she didn't do anything. And even when they were having, they put Eva Marie on matches on Raw and stuff that they would never put her in anything. So I don't know if she just sucks or what.
Like, at this point, I'm not even sure if she's with the company anymore. Like, I don't know. She's not on the show that she's kind of known for. I mean, we never knew where she came from before, you know.
Do they even fire people anymore, though? Like,
they just kind of just leave them and just let them rot.
JTG hasn't been on TV in, like, decades, but he's still around, I guess.
I was just wondering about the other day. I think, is Evan Bourne still with the company?
I believe he is, yeah.
I don't think he's been on television in 20 years. 25. He like last wrestled Iron Sheik.
Yeah, I remember they started an angle with him and Jericho, but it never really went anywhere. Mm-hmm. That was like 2010.
And I thought JoJo was getting with Randy Orton. So it's like, what's the deal there?
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe Randy wants privacy or something? I don't know.
He doesn't want to be all over the Total Diva show.
Who would have wanted that?
I don't want Randy Orton sucking up Total Divas.
I don't know. Anybody who could get so pissed off that the only retaliation he can think of is just taking their handbag and crapping in it. I don't know. I think that could make some good TV.
Well, that would be good.
I mean, a shit-filled purse on Total Divas? I mean, that's just money right there.
But I guess the big feud this year is going to be Natty and Summer Rae.
Yeah, it's looking like it.
I'm already on Summer Rae's side. I was a big fan of Natty until this show, and I'm just like, oh, she's kind of an asshole in real life.
It's funny just because of all the shit she does, but I don't know. It's just, it's like she wasn't even born on this planet or something.
I'm telling you, man, they don't know about anything but wrestling. Like, that's all they think about.
Yeah, yeah. I can kind of see your point there. But yeah, Summer Rae. Because
it's like, remember the episode when Tyson Kidd, when Natty got jealous because Tyson was training Eva Marie?
Uh-huh, yeah.
And he just had, like, no concept of why she would be jealous. He's just like, I'm just teaching her how to wrestle.
Yeah. And then he was like, his only, like, way to take up for herself is like, she wants to be just like you. How couldn't that be, you know, a bad thing?
Which begs the question to me is why a traveled veteran of the road like Eva Marie would need advice from anyone.
I like that the whoever that guy was, I guess he's in charge of talent somehow.
Scumbag
like,
Magoo, yeah.
Yes, yeah, Scumbag Magoo. He's like, you know what, Summer Rae, you're new here. We're going to put you on the road with Eva Marie.
Which is like, well, she's not new. And it's like, you know, I didn't think anything could top the episode where they said the Bellas were veterans. But this was like a high-ranking official in the company going like, you need to sit under the Eva Marie learning tree.
You only get that on Total Divas. I mean, who could even think of something like that? I do like that guy, though. He does look like just a total scumbag.
He is like the sleaziest dude I've ever seen.
I've only seen this one episode, but he certainly seems like the sort of guy who would ask to sit in the closet and watch you do some broad.
Oh, yeah.
He's totally up for JJ position.
I remember there was this one episode where, like, I forget what it was, but he was, like, talking to the one fucking punkadactyl about something, and he was just, like, death staring her boobs while he was talking to her. this is really not professional behavior, bro.
It is for the WWE.
That's true.
Just ask good old
JR
about it.
People have been through worse working here.
Mm-hmm. JR, he's getting
Howard Finkel's had to do worse stuff to keep a job, so you can deal with this.
Well, let's see. Well, what were some more things that happened on the program that...
The biggest thing ever, the return of Eva Marie's dad.
I do love that guy.
He is awesome.
He is just like the best whenever he's pissed off. Like, it's kind of funny watching him like before he's pissed off because he's like, hey, how's it going? And he just seems kind of awkward. And he's like, so
now,
is everything going good here? It's just like he's fishing for something to be pissed off about.
Yeah.
And then her brothers are real douchebags.
Okay, now, me and Prez were talking about this earlier. Now, she's got the two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
The one in the blue shirt, he definitely wants to bang her, right?
You think her own brothers wants to get with
her? Just the way that he, like, he seemed like, it didn't seem like he was mad at her husband. It seemed like he was more, like, jealous.
Yeah, like, they're jealous that she's getting with somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see your point there. It is.
I mean, the other brother, he didn't seem as creepy, but the one in the blue shirt, I'd be a little bit less conspicuous on national TV.
Yeah, I know. I mentioned to Dwayne, I'm like, God, even Marie, she got all the looks in that family. The rest of them are a bunch of ugly motherfuckers.
That's the thing that I kind of think. It's like, how in the hell was she spawned from this family? I mean, she's like drop-dead gorgeous, and like the rest of them are just, they look like they come from Middle Earth or something.
I didn't think they were that ugly.
Where did they get these trolls from? You know,
they should announce that her family's coming over. They show like a dirt mound and show like these dirty hands just scratching their way down. They're like, "We're coming, Eva Marie."
She had to move her boyfriend out because she didn't mention that she's married.
That is just so moronic. I mean, how could you like that stuff?
It's weird because, like, the first time we saw this guy, I just thought, God, this is the biggest, like, douchebag I've ever seen in my life. But like in this episode, I like felt kind of bad for him.
He married.
Like, well, he is. You know, he is trying to do the right thing here, and you know, I don't know.
I didn't really feel bad for him. I was like, fuck that guy. He got her to marry him, and like he only known her for like a few months. I mean, it doesn't sound like his marriage is going to go very well.
Well, I'm it's a sure. marriage in wrestling, so
yeah.
That's really good. You know, exactly. As well as they all got it.
But I don't know. I do dig the dad because I just like how he comes in and he's just like picking a fight. He's just waiting for some shit to get started.
Yeah.
And like the two brothers are like his little troll instigators. They're just like
they're
just getting at her. And
well, he's only had like 7 or 8 heart attacks apparently.
Well, yeah, that was awesome. She was like, I don't want to give him another heart attack. And she's,
I mean,
like,
he was way toned down in this episode, Bill. Like the first episode that he was in, he was just like screaming and like going insane.
It was pretty awesome. And I liked how he come in and he met the dude and he's like, hey, how's it going, buddy? And then they're like, she wants to know if, you know, I can take her hand in marriage. And he was like, no! Flat out, no!
She just starts screaming. It was crazy. But why? Okay, so why did he come over when her family was there?
Because it's a reality show and they needed the conflict.
I guess
that's true. I would have just been like, listen, I mean, your family, your dad's going to kill me, your brother's like jerking off to you. I'm just going to, like, stay out of town until they leave.
Yeah, that was so contrived. And it was like, and he forgot to take off his wedding ring. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Not only did he forget to take it off, he was spinning it the whole time he was sitting with everyone.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Did you get married?
Like, the only thing I could think of is, like, he wanted them to see that, just so he sat there and spit.
I think he sort of was like, let's get this shit over with. I don't give a fuck about these dumb hillbillies.
Let's get these fuckers from Middle Earth out of my house.
Yeah.
So we can get back to the banging.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy barely wears clothes. I think that's all that's on his mind at all times.
Well, I mean, you know, he is, I mean, if I was in his position,
wouldn't be a bad position to be in.
Yeah,
definitely.
I mean, he's got a pretty good life.
Your headphone jack on the front of your computer to work.
No, that's right. I would just throw my computer away and be like, I don't need this one.
But the other thing that I thought was pretty hilarious on this show was Vag Tattoo and Daniel Bryan are setting up their wedding registry.
Mm-hmm.
But they're at this, like, weird-ass shop that only sells, like, and I'm all about whatever, but it's, like, environmentally, it's not even environmentally friendly stuff, but it's, like, they've got this mason jar that you can pour in, like, water from the ground and make it clean, and they're like, oh, that's great, we should put that on our wedding registry. And
I need one of those.
Yeah, you're new to these too, but they are like the biggest like hippies ever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my thought on this was because if you've ever, and everyone has had a friend, every guy's had a friend who's had this happen to him, and you can just see it happen, is when they meet a girl who, like, and it usually manifests with sports teams or something, but where they just immediately embrace everything that you believe in and everything that you want. Like, if your buddy or you meet a girl and they immediately like all the things you like, you got to run away quick because that bitch is crazy and she is trying to hook you in for something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think that's pretty clear, especially on the with the other one and John Cena.
Well, that one doesn't hide it.
He is trying to get a baby in there quick.
Like,
I don't blame the woman. You know, he's pretty well off.
And, yeah. And she's like set for life if she has a kid with him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame her, but she is just not trying to be like sneaky about it at all.
She should, you know, have a little bit more wits about her, like poking holes in condoms and you know, just laying it on him when he's totally not expecting it. And be like, you don't need to go to the store to get anything. I'm on birth control.
Well, but you know how like OCD is. I bet he's not fall for that. He got mad at her just for like cooking dinner one time, so I doubt that he's gonna believe that.
Yeah, he seems like a careful guy. Now, I remember you telling me all throughout the last season that the only person who kind of comes off as a good guy on this show is Daniel Bryan. And
well,
I thought
Uso, I like him. Bryan kind of, I don't know.
Well, yeah. But what I was going to say is there were a few times when I was watching this where, like, he would throw in, like, very, well, like, jabs at Titsbella. And, like, she'd be complaining about how John Cena's not treating him right, and he'd be like, yeah, that's got to suck.
Yeah.
He's not being polite at all.
You can really tell that he has no tolerance for her.
No.
And that, like, if he wasn't the other one's sister, he would just have nothing to do with her ever.
Yeah, most likely. So, Big Tits is more, you know, she's definitely more of a girly girl, and then, like, the other ones kind of just took on his personality, so he probably
yeah,
thinks that,
yeah.
But you know, he probably if it was, like, the other way around, where if she stayed the same when she got with him, he probably couldn't stand her either. That's the way
yeah,
I see
well,
it. They're just
yeah,
mindless bimbos. They don't
yeah,
have a
basically.
Brain of their own.
Basically, yeah. But they are veterans of Squared Circle, and you should treat them with a little bit more respect.
No, well, you know, they're just a gash.
I mean, they're not Eva Marie level, but, you know, I think, like, pretty much only like the Hulkster is. So.
What's the chances of that place that they're at having a great selection of Birkenstock sandals?
I'm sure they're very high. I mean, they were like.
I like how Nikki just got pissed off and she was just like, "Fuck it, I'm out of here." This is too much.
They were selling such stupid. They were like selling cloth made out of torn up blankets from orphan children or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what was so weird about it is like they were so into it.
Yeah, it's I
like,
don't know.
You know, you would think like. Daniel Bryan would at some point look over at Nikki and be like, can you believe this shit? But he was like, I'm more into it than Brie.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, you sort of hear that he's kind of an odd guy. He doesn't, like, own a TV or anything like that. So.
Yeah. I don't see how you can be a wrestling fan and not own a TV. Strange.
Yeah. I guess,
Once he got into
wrestling, he kind of stopped watching it, you know? I think that's what happens to most people.
Yeah.
I think this is an unrelated point, but I was thinking about this today. Like, you know, I really love wrestling, but I would never, ever want to be involved in it in any way because I feel like if you want to find a way to not love wrestling anymore, just, like, get involved in it.
Well, they say that any way to ruin any hobby is start to make money doing that hobby, and you know, you'll just hate it.
Yeah. Well, I don't even think it's sad. It's just like all the crazy nonsense you have to deal with, and I would never want to be in wrestling. It's like, you know.
Not going to let Bill Watts ride you around like a horse.
Yeah. The best case scenario is that you'll end up rich and crippled.
Yeah, there you go. You can be Mick Foley.
And the worst case scenario is, like, you know, murder-suicide. So.
It's always possible. Dwayne, is there anything else you want to talk about the Total Divas?
Not Total Divas, but there is something I want to mention.
Okay.
That is big news in the wrestling world right now. Well, to me anyway. I think you guys will get a kick out of it. There's a company, I think they're in Ohio, called AIW. And they've got this tournament coming up, or something like that. But one of the names that is in this tournament is none other than Buff Bagwell.
Oh, man.
Yes. Buff is the stuff, and the girls can't get enough.
And they pay for it now.
Mm-hmm. He says, I got a pretty good product here. I'm just going to put myself on the market.
I don't blame him.
Well, I hope Buff Bagwell wins this tournament.
Then
I'm rooting for him.
Goes off to bang some heavy gal who paid him a lot of money.
I always liked Buff Bagwell.
I think he gets a lot of unfair criticism. You know?
Yeah, he's a fun wrestler. I always thought so.
Yeah.
I remember, like, I was listening to, like, I think it was, like, Wade Keller, somebody like that, and they were just saying, like, oh, you know, Lex Luger and Buff Bagwell, they were as much to do with WCW dying as Vince Russo and Eric Bischoff. And I was like, in what world do you believe that?
Yeah, well, first of all, people who don't appreciate Lex Luger, I don't have much time for, because I think Lex is really good. I mean, there's people who think he's
an underrated guy.
Yeah. I mean, you could think that Buff was kind of crappy, and he wasn't a great wrestler or anything, but I thought he was fine. But Lex Luger...
He's a good talker and a fun character, so I don't, you know... Not everybody has to be freaking Bret Hart, you know?
No. I mean, but say what you will about Lex Luger, but if there was one guy who actually worked hard at the end of WCW, it was Lex Luger. He put on a show.
Yeah, it's kind of strange that he, like, has this reputation for being, like, lazy, and I don't really understand it, but...
Ah.
It's one of those things, you know, if something gets said enough times in wrestling, then it just becomes factual.
Well, would you agree with this statement? Earlier, Lex Luger was a lot better?
Oh, yeah. Well, he's definitely better in, like, the late 80s than he was, like, you know, in 2000. But
yeah, I mean...
So was everyone else.
I agree with that. I mean, anyone with their series of matches with Flair in the late 80s is going to be better.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to think, by that time, he was probably pretty beat up, you know?
I just saw a lot of the Nitro Lex Luger, and can't say anything really stuck out to me.
Well, even
you
gotta
watch
sort
some
of
that
stuff.
Late 80s stuff, man. Like, I think it's Starrcade 88, maybe, that he's in the main event with Flair. And that's like one of the best matches I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's really good. But talking about Luger in the Nitro days, the night he beat... Hogan for the title, that place went nuts for that. I mean, he was over.
Yeah.
That was a fun little match, too.
I mean, he's no Eva Marie.
No Eva Marie.
But,
probably wouldn't have Summer Rae travel with him.
No, I mean, yeah.
If he did, he'd hook her on
you think
drugs.
Summer Rae would call him out for not being a real blonde?
I'm sure
no
she
way.
Would.
That dastardly little devil.
Alrighty,
I'm kind of
Italian like him. Okay. All right.
Sorry.
What were you saying? Sorry.
I was just going to kick you off. But.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Alrighty, Dwayne. Thank you for joining us for the Total Divas segment.
Right. And great interview tonight with Jim Ross.
I heard but, I caught a little bit of it before week. I screwed the whole thing up, but I enjoyed it.
You should really check it out on the archive.
Good going, Press.
I tried hard. I booked a JR hoping you'd be here. Mm-hmm. But alas, your last-minute errands came up.
Yeah, something's happened, you know.
But I'll talk to you guys next weekend with more Total... Can I get a Total Divas from you?
Total Divas!
All right. Later, guys.
See you, Dwayne. All right, President Clinton. None other than a Michael P.S. Hayes tag team partner. He's called in. Well, he actually just took the man's name. He is Jimmy Jam He is Jiminy Hibbity Hibbity High. Jimmy Jam, welcome to the program. What is on your mind about the world of professional wrestling?
I think we'd all have a better season in Total Divas this season as we did last season.
So this season's going to be the season to watch Total Divas?
Yep.
Excellent.
Well, good thing I'm watching this one, then.
Mm-hmm. It seems like it's going to be a pretty good one. I mean, they're off and rolling and everything, so we'll have to check it out. Jimmy Jam, have you been watching the WWE Network?
24/7.
You've been watching it 24/7? Like, do you just turn it on the stream and don't turn it off?
That's right.
I can see Jimmy Jam watching it Clockwork Orange style.
He's just got his eyes pried open, and he's like, can't stop watching. What's on now? Do you have it on now?
Yes.
What's on?
Our competition?
Best of Raw.
Oh, fuck that. Suck it, Best of Raw.
Mm-hmm. We're listening to this, inyourheadonline.com. Good stuff. IYH Wrestling.
The wrestling.
They all work. Jimmy.
And Perez, you were wrong about the time, because Main Event comes on at 8 and the WrestleMania Rewind comes on at 9.
I wasn't wrong about that.
Yeah, I think you said that. You're in California, though, aren't you, Jimmy Jam?
Yeah, but the network's 3 hours early, so I could be able to watch it at the same time as you guys.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. There is no time zone in WWE Network land. It just all happens at once.
It's all network time, WWE time.
Mm-hmm. I hope this WrestleMania goes off without a hitch. No major snafus. I imagine it'll be all right, like, as far as like the stream just staying up and you can watch the whole show. But, like, my stream, it'll kind of do this whenever I'm watching NXT. It'll kind of, like, jumble up a little bit. I guess it's, like, buffering or something. And then sometimes it will repeat itself. Like, it does a double take.
I got that. I think 2 weeks ago, every once in a while, when I was watching NXT, it would jump back, like, two or three seconds. Kind of like that.
Yeah.
And, but I don't think I had that problem this week.
Yeah.
I think the network still does that once in a while on all the devices still.
Well, you know, I'm sure it's got its problems. And, a lot of people's internet providers aren't necessarily the greatest sometimes. And so, you know, there's a lot of things factoring into how good your signal is, I'd say.
Yeah, and even when I'm watching Netflix on there, there's sometimes where they're – like, this movie cannot be displayed at this time. Please try later. So it's not like it's only a WWE problem and everything else works fine. Mm-hmm. It's just the nature of the product.
Jimmy Jam, are you going to be tuned in to the WWE Network when it's WrestleMania Day?
Yes. Hall of Fame night.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. Like, we got some new inductees into the Hall of Fame. Carlos Colon, they did not announce that one on Raw. It was just right on SmackDown. And then on Monday Night Raw, they announced Mr. T's going in.
Mr. T is a very, very good pick for this Hall of Fame, I think. Mm-hmm. And there's some of these, I don't even want to call these people podcast marks. They're just morons. If you're upset about Mr. T going in, you just don't get wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, the guy did have a big part in WrestleMania 1 and WrestleMania 2. I mean, you know, he really
helped
out the WWF back in those days.
I mean, he was a big deal.
I think it's just people don't realize how big Mr. T really was because they weren't alive, you know?
Yeah, that might be it, but I
had a freaking Mr. T, like, stand-up doll back in the days. And I loved that thing. I don't have it anymore. I wish I still did, but it had like these little
in the box.
Yeah, that'll be a gift somebody can get me. And it had these little dangling earring things with like the feathers on them and stuff. And I loved that doll, but it's gone.
Yeah, Mr. T was huge, and him and Hulk Hogan, they did cereal?
Come on now, I used to eat that stuff.
They were both in the Rocky III, and they did Saturday Night Live before WrestleMania, and I mean, they were all over TV. They choked out Richard Belzer on the show, and the Hulkster got sued. It was a big deal.
All right, Jimmy Jam, you got anything else for us, my man?
Yeah.
What do you got?
Trying to think.
What do you watch WWE Network on? PlayStation 3 or what?
Yeah, I watch. And when I'm on the go, I watch on my phone.
Cool, cool. Do you think what you had?
Yeah, I.
Don't ask us about Jerry Graham. Because we don't know nothing about him. Sorry, Big Jimmy.
I have not seen him on any of those old cards yet.
Yeah. They need to put some on the network for us so we can check it out.
They need to put those old cards in order.
I will say that that was one thing that kind of pissed me off is they're putting up old world class shows, which are pretty good for what they are, but they're not really putting them up in order. Like they'll skip weeks at a time. I find it weird.
That doesn't make sense because, you know, if you're watching the shows, you want to check them out, you know, as the angles are happening.
Exactly.
That's weird because they're putting the first year of Raw episodes in order.
The only thing I can think of is that the tape quality of those programs just suck. Real spotty, and they don't even want to put them up because there's some of those there was one world class I watched where they even put up a disclaimer during it because it was during a Ric Flair promo. The video was all sort of messed up, but the promo was pretty awesome, so they put it up there and they, you know, like apologized and said this was the best quality they could put up. But
yeah,
so maybe it's just that some of those tapes are just ruined.
I know when they were making the Heroes of World Class back in the day, I remember hearing somebody talking about finding the library and actually having to like purchase a bunch of tapes off of somebody who had like a real good signal back in the day. So I guess that stuff was kind of hard to find. And I know Portland, they would like just erase their master
tape over them. Yeah.
So maybe you know, World Class did that a little bit back in the days too.
That's a big reason why a lot of those wrestling archives, the WWE doesn't own them, because they just didn't save those tapes.
Man. So if you're making a wrestling organization and you got just a bunch of fat guys in the back, go ahead and just erase your master tape. Nobody cares. But if you got somebody that people care about, keep it around.
What?
That's
tell your
rough.
Dad we don't know nothing about Jerry Graham.
They don't know nothing about Jerry Graham.
Sorry.
He's Vince McMahon's favorite wrestler, I know that.
Yeah, Vince likes him, Vince McMahon Jr. There you go. But alrighty, Jimmy Jam, good talking to you.
Why not?
We just don't. We don't know nothing about him.
He was, him and his brother Eddie were probably one of the best tag teams of all time.
They need to put some stuff on the network for us because we don't have that footage to check out nowadays.
I would love to see some of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember him very well. He ate over my house.
Cool.
And he, my grandfather was with the Italian newspaper and handled sports. And Dr. Jerry Graham was very, very popular.
Oh,
in
I know the
Argentina
name.
Rocca. Do you know who he is?
Who's that again?
Argentina Rocca.
Yeah, I've heard the name, yeah. Everybody I'm kind of familiar with, but I never really watched him.
I mean, I love him, and
everybody thought him and Dr. Jerry Graham should were enemies, but actually they were the best of friends.
It would have been nice if they had some VCRs back then and people had some old tapes and stuff. Been cool. What channel did you watch them on back in the day?
I'm sure there are tapes of Dr. Jerry Graham.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because he was one of the, him and his brother, I think, were one of the best tag teams of all time. Mm-hmm. You take all these tag teams, they're all part of the Graham brothers.
Yeah. Cool. We'll definitely have to check out some of that stuff. But we got to move on here. We got some other callers on the line, but appreciate it.
With the stuff you have, you could probably next year get him in the Hall of Fame.
Who's that there, Jerry Graham?
Yes.
Oh, well, we'll have to get a petition going out there. Get Jerry Graham in the Hall of Fame. All righty, Big Jimmy, Little Jimmy.
Yeah, is Luke in the Hall of Fame?
Who's that?
Crazy Luke Graham.
You know anything about that, Perez?
I don't think that he is in yet. I don't think he is, no.
Okay, he's another one who should be, but not over his brother.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Eddie and his brother should be considered one of the best tag teams of all time.
All righty. Well, we'll definitely have to check it out. Maybe we'll look on the YouTube, see some videos of them and stuff. But, yeah, I wish I had more information on it. But
And the Kangaroos.
The Kangaroos?
In the
Fabulous.
Hall. That's my new favorite team, I think.
The Kangaroos?
What did they do? Did they hop or what? What was their deal?
They were
a top team. I used to come in the ring with boomerangs. They were cardboard, of course.
Mm.
The ones they used to throw out to the fans. And I mean, they were, and their manager was Wild Red Berry.
I never even heard about them, but that sounds kind of neat. You think it would have heard something about, you know, throwing the, boomerangs and all that out in the crowd. That sounds kind of neat.
You know, if you ever need somebody to take your place for a night, give us a call and I'll gladly do it.
Okie dokie. Well, we'll keep that in mind. Thank you, man. We'll talk to you guys later on, though.
Okay, I'd like to talk to you again sometime.
Alrighty. Bye now. See you, Jimmy. Jimmy Jam, talk to you later. Alrighty, let's go to
who else we got?
We got Shaheen on the line. Shaheen?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What do you think about Luke Graham, Crazy Legs?
Man, I don't know who the fuck that is.
Well, you know,
I don't even think that guy exists.
Nah, he does. He?
I've heard of him before, so.
I have no idea. What, did he break dance in the ring or something?
I don't know.
When you hear that a man has crazy legs, that's all you can, that's all you need to know about him. He's got crazy legs.
I guess.
It's crazy.
I guess. He should have a gimmick where he comes out in a wheelchair.
You can't call a guy in a wheelchair crazy legs.
Man, his legs are crazy, man. Yeah.
It just wouldn't be right.
I like it.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to WrestleMania now.
Yeah, it's got my interest now more than it did a few weeks ago.
Yeah, man, Triple H won the goddamn title, man. I'm happy.
That's right.
I'm excited. Honestly, I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
I actually hope that happens.
Well, it would definitely get
awesome.
People pissed off, but are you serious?
It'd be hilarious.
Like, you just want to see it just because you think it'd be funny?
did. The only reason. I mean, because imagine if Brian wins, it's only downhill from there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what else is he going to do? By the time he wins it again and lose, it's not the same, you know? But they do something with Triple H, that's epic, man. That's just like the biggest, you know, letdown of all time in wrestling. It would just be hilarious. I would personally love to do that.
I don't know. I mean, if Daniel Bryan wins the title, it would be interesting to see if he got, like, a good run with it. But I don't know. They'd be throwing, like, these nobodies at him, you know, and they just make it a lackluster push, kind of like everybody who gets the belt that they don't want to have the belt.
Yeah, but who else do they have that can hold the belt right now? I mean, clearly Batista and Orton, mm-hmm. you know, they're not getting the right kind of fan reaction. The only other person they have is fucking Cena, and, you know, how many times?
He's getting close to that magical 16 number. I know he's at least 14.
Oh, man. I watched that WrestleMania rewind with Cena. Oh, my God. I hated this guy more than ever watching that shit, man.
I kind of felt the same way.
Poison. He's fucking poison. I swear to God, man. This guy is terrible for wrestling.
It was funny to go back and see footage where the fans actually kind of liked him. You know? The fans are actually into him. I don't know. Yeah, I didn't have, like, a good feeling watching it either. It was just like, screw this guy. And, like, the best two matches they could find was, like, Big Show taking on John Cena and then JBL.
I will say, when I was done watching that, I said, boy, did I really like JBL at this time.
Yeah, JBL right? was pretty awesome back then.
Yeah, he was pretty awesome then, but...
You know what's the funny thing? JBL, when he won the title, that's when he stopped watching wrestling. And now that I look back on it, I'm like, fuck, man, those times were so much better than now. I probably should have just kept watching and stopped watching now. You know?
Yeah, I loved JBL's title run. I thought it was great.
Oh, I hated him. I absolutely hated him. I could never look at him more than the APA. I don't know. I just never took him seriously.
I like just about everything about JBL except for the matches. Like,
well,
and the commentary.
I liked his commentary.
He's terrible.
You don't like
him? Oh, my God. Nah. He makes a joke of everything, man. He just shits on everything. You know, with the Daniel Bryan and the goat phrases and all that, it's just too over the top, man. He tries too hard.
I would say bring back
and he kisses Vince's ass way too much.
Program.
Yeah, that's true. That was a good interview.
Thank you. The press did a good job.
Oh, man. Fucking barbecue sauce, chipotle ketchup. How is that? Has anybody ever tried that? It sounds good, but I've never had
his ketchup. I've never had any of his stuff, actually, but...
I wonder if it's safe to, like, order it, because they were probably made, like, 7 years ago, right?
I know mine kind of tastes a little stale that I got from WWE Shop, but Jack would go on about the stuff that he ordered from Jim Ross's actual site, so maybe it's a little bit fresher.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, so WWE Shop, don't get it there. Get it off Jim Ross himself.
I think you have to get it off WWE Shop.
Still? Even though he's gone?
Yeah.
Jeez. Man.
Man, that's gotta suck.
They own his barbecue sauce.
Well, I just don't think...
Probably buys it off the WWE website for his own home.
I also remember like a little cowboy hat on it, and I was like, that's cool, I'll get a little JR cowboy hat with my barbecue sauce, and it didn't have it on mine.
Bad times.
Yeah. Hey, how irritating is it to see wrestling fans complain about that, you know, that the Daniel Bryan and Triple H segment was just too brutal and it just went for too long. Like, come on, man, you guys are the same fucking people begging for the Attitude Era. And the guy gets beat up for 5 minutes and everybody's bitching about it. Oh, it's too brutal. Can't take it. It's not fair.
Well, most wrestling fans just don't want to enjoy wrestling.
That's true. That is true.
Like, I didn't really think it was, like, too brutal or nothing. I thought it was just...
I didn't either. I didn't even think it was that bad. No blood. There was barely a chair shot. I mean, he didn't really hit him. He hit the post. I mean,
at one point, I would have liked to seen like Triple H grab a tie of some sort and start choking Brian. Like,
yeah.
Do you really want to see somebody get choked out with a tie? It'd be a good time.
The irony.
It's like, I can do this because I'm who I am. That would have been cool.
Yes.
Just be like,
oh, man.
I own this company. I can do whatever I want. But you can't do it. Because you're Daniel Bryan.
I'm really starting to like Triple H again. I don't know why. Over the last 2 weeks, I'm really digging his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since the Occupy Raw, when he started flipping out and just started going off, I just started liking him again. I want him as a champ, man. That's it. Fucking Triple H.
I don't
money
know
maker.
If I can say that. I want him as the champ. I do think it would be funny just to see him win the belt.
Even if it's for like a week, man, that'd just be great. Just ruin WrestleMania.
Oh, I don't think there is going to ever be a week-long Triple H title run.
That's true.
He just couldn't have that.
I like the idea where Triple H wins the belt as long as Hulk Hogan comes out and beats him a minute later.
Well, that'd be awesome.
Can you see Triple H agreeing to that, though? Just like, okay, then Hulk can come out and beat me.
See, I still, I think Hulk can con his way into that. I think he still has the chops to convince Vince to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wish they would put a rematch between Ultimate Warrior and Triple H.
That'd be awesome.
That would be amazing. See, that's gold right there, man. They should start listening to these podcasts. Probably have better ideas.
Yeah, most definitely. But, yeah.
Have Triple H go over and just bury Ultimate Warrior. Just take a piss on the guy.
Warrior ain't agreeing to that. He's going over.
Just shoot. Just go crazy on him.
I wonder how a Triple H Ultimate Warrior shoot fight would go.
Jeez.
I don't know. I'm guessing Triple H would kick his ass, I hope.
They're both jacked to the gills, and Triple H has got, he's a little younger than the Warrior, I'd say.
Yeah, but I don't think he's nearly as crazy.
I don't know, he was banking China.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. Did she have a clit or a dick?
I think the proper answer is both.
It looks like a baby dick. It didn't look like a clit. That's when I stopped watching, when I saw the baby dick, man. No more.
That was a bridge too far.
Yeah. Terrible. That was probably the worst porno ever of all time. Was there anything worse than that? Did that move any units at all? Did anybody buy that?
I don't know.
Just put that network, man. See how many hits to get off of that.
It's no Hulk Hogan sex tape, I'll say that.
Well, I've never seen that, man. I'll pass on that.
You're missing out.
Oh, God, missing out, man.
Missing out.
Old man's nutsack. Nah. I'm good, man. I don't think I would ever be able to look the Hulk the same.
Hulkamania was running wild. Like it's never run before.
Oh, my God.
There are aspects about it that kind of interest me, just like that he has to stop in the middle, and he's like,
it's hilarious.
But just that I have to watch, the other stuff, is there a censored version?
Who wants to see censored version? Come on.
You're all going all crazy, like Bad News Brown here or something. Or what's his name? Brickhouse Brown. Not Bad News.
Bad News Brown was the man.
Big fan?
Yeah. Well, not a big fan, but...
He was a good wrestler. Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a standoff with Owen Hart back in the day. Supposedly.
Yeah. Hey, man, what do you guys think about The Shield? What are they doing at WrestleMania?
I guess they're turning face now. I can see them being in a match with the other two Wyatts. And Kane joining them.
They're talking about bringing those NXT guys.
Say what?
Those NXT guys are the two big guys. Oh, I don't know their names. I guess they're the tag champs. They're thinking about bringing those guys up and tagging them with Kane.
That could be good. I mean, what I've seen of them, they're not great, but they'd be good in that sort of six-man tag thing with Kane.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
Yeah, but the Shield, they deserve better than that, man. They should walk out.
Well,
just fucking leave.
Just leave, they're done.
Leave. Anybody that goes against Kane, just leave. Just quit.
I never thought that they would turn all three of them face. I always thought that they would just spin out. Well, they would either just spin out Ambrose and have him be a heel by himself, and then the other two would be baby faces, which would mean that Seth Rollins would kind of disappear. And but I never thought that they'd turn all three of them. I like Seth Rollins. He finally turned it around for me. When they first debuted, I thought, there's two good guys here and one guy who kind of sucks. But now I'm a big Seth Rollins fan now.
He's actually my favorite one out of all of them. He's not great on the mic whatsoever, but
he sounds like a muppet.
He's definitely the best one. Yeah, that's true. That's true. You got to put some bass in his voice. Mm.
They definitely seem like they're trying to get him out there more, get people to know him a little bit better.
Yeah, him and Dolph Ziggler, they got to start smoking cigars and drinking bourbon or something.
It's funny you say that. I'm actually doing the exact same thing right now, smoking a cigar and drinking bourbon.
There you go. Yeah, that's why you've got such a manly voice.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir. There you go, man. Dolph Ziggler, you got to start smoking cigars and start drinking. You know?
Yeah,
there you go.
Do that. Man, did you see that report about John Cena being in Dolph Ziggler's ex-girlfriend's movie, Amy Schumer?
No,
I was reading about it on In Your Head Online. I wonder if it's going to be because she wrote it. I wonder if it's going to be goofing on Ziggler and John Cena's going to be in that role.
I don't know. I'll have to look on InYourHeadOnline.com at our message board mm-hmm. and read all about it.
Yeah, but
that's got to be irritating.
Yeah.
Ziggler hates Cena.
Does he?
Yeah, he's made some public statements about it before, so. He always puts it on his Twitter. He used to always bitch about it on his Twitter. That, same old shit with Cena and all that. I think that's why they never pushed him, because he's just, he's too outspoken. But
yeah,
you blame the guy, man. Imagine being around Cena every fucking, every week around this guy. I would probably just quit.
Banging porn.
That's probably why Punk quit.
And then he bangs big tits, and then he's just like, I'm Cena. Do what I want.
It just seems like such a dick. I don't know. Honestly, I didn't hate him as much as I do now until the Total Divas show. Like, when I started watching him in real life, I was like, oh, this guy's a fucking dick. Like, I would not like this guy in person at all,
Yeah.
So, I never liked him as a wrestler.
He just wants you to use a coaster. It's a civilized thing to do.
Hey, it's just like, why did you cook for me? Like, made it, like, come on, dude. Are you serious? Like, chill the fuck out, man. Just made a meal for you. Yeah, exactly. Wasn't making a big deal about it.
Stove and cutting board? Those aren't for cooking.
Yeah. Fancy marble tables and all that. Come on. I mean, I have marble tables, but, it's not like I fucking, sit there and say you can't eat on them. It's just, as long as it's long, man, enjoy it.
Yeah, really.
It seems like he doesn't enjoy anything he has, It's just, makes all this money and just, he just sits around with, just nothing in the house because he's scared it'll scratch up the walls or whatever. Just fuck that guy, man.
Enjoy what you have. And if your big tit wife wants to make you some breakfast, just enjoy it. Because she's got big tits. And she probably cooks like shit, but...
That's true. She probably can't cook shit.
He's like, I'd rather go somewhere else and get some food.
Maybe that's why. Actually, I can't blame him, because what if she did cook like shit and just ruined his tables? Like, he just knows that it's going to be shit. And it's like, all right, you're just ruining my tables and mm-hmm. just going to give me shit. I'm going to have diarrhea for a week because he can't cook. I guess you can't blame the guy. Still, he's a dick, though.
Yeah.
But hey, before I leave, I want to talk about TNA because I haven't watched TNA for a while, and I actually watched it this week.
Okay.
What the fuck is Jeff Hardy doing, man? This guy came out and, oh, my God, this guy came out in velour sweatpants. come on, dude. If you're going to come out with a new gimmick, at least put in some time or spend like $60 on a new outfit. This guy came out in you know, Great Khali's old pants and shit. It's just terrible, man. It's terrible stuff.
Yeah, the Willow character. I don't know. I'll see him on TV and it's just like, man, this character's definitely not going anywhere. So
no, it's not. It had potential, because I actually like it. Like, I like the creepy, weird stuff, like the Wyatts and all that stuff, but it just doesn't work, man. The guy just comes out just looking lazy, does the same moves as Jeff Hardy. They already clearly, you know, I'm glad that they let you know that it's Jeff Hardy, because, you know, if they try to do the same thing with Abyss and the other guy,
that's one of the things that kind of pissed me off, because I thought, like, they should have gave the character kind of a chance to make it on its own. But he comes out, and, like, you can see all his tattoos and everything, and it's like, well, he's not even trying.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what irritated me. It just, like, basically just looked like Jeff Hardy with the fucking, you know, whatever they are on his hands.
I did like it in the Lethal Lockdown, where he was like, he took a chair shot, and he was just like, he made a weird scream.
That was the best part of the whole show, man. That's what I said in the chat room. That was the greatest moment in the whole lockdown. Actually, I like him just because of that. Just because when he screams like that, I just think that's great, man. Every time they hit the guy, he should just start screaming like that. That would get over, man. That would get over with me. I'd be a fan.
And the way he's set up, he seems like he should be a heel, but I guess they're making him where he's a face. So.
Yeah, he should just, I don't know. What is, like, what is he? What is Willow?
I guess he's like this like, tree-dwelling creature of some sort who likes to rap.
Oh my God.
I don't get it. Nah, he's from Middle Earth too, I guess.
Is he like tree the Lorax? What are you talking playing. About? He speaks for the trees.
I'm not sure what it is. I mean, if Willow was going to live somewhere, could you imagine any other place that would be better than like the trees?
No.
Exactly.
Doesn't he have a tattoo on his arm, like a sleeve? It's just like a tree.
It's like some roots or something. I don't know what it is. Yeah.
Is he a tree hugger?
I don't know what he is.
I think he's just, you know, a drug addict.
He's sitting there smoking crystal meth and going to NXT is the best.
Yeah. I guess so, man. Oh,
allegedly. All righty, Shaheen. Good talking
All
to
right,
you.
All right, man. Thank you, sir. Have a good night.
Take her easy. All right, next up, I believe next was Swax.
What's going on?
Swaxy, I know you've watched a lot of professional wrestling, and I want to talk about what you want to talk about. Let's hear it.
First of all, it was an honor to see the all-time greatest knockout in TNA wrestling history coming back last Thursday, and that is one Angelina Love.
They brought her back?
Yeah, she's back.
She's kind of an ugly-looking broad.
And she lived up to that on Impact.
Still not looking good?
I think she's looking worse.
She's always kind of, ugh. I mean, she's got spectacular tits, but other than that, she is, ugh.
If she was all tits, she would be great.
Yeah, but
just like
face,
a walking pair of tits. The
hideous.
Face, the face, she's been beaten with an ugly stick.
Yeah, and then last time I saw her, she was like way too skinny, even by those girls' standards.
She's got all that skank tattoos.
Yeah.
Looks like she smells like cigarettes.
Well, you know, I could agree that Angelina Love is looking a little bit on the skinny side because she hasn't been wrestling lately and she needs to really put on some, you know, muscle.
There you go.
The more muscle she puts on, you know, the better she'll look.
Swax, do you like your women a little bit on the trashy side?
A little bit on the slutty side.
Well, okay. I think Angelina Love's got that covered.
Yeah, but, you know, it was a real good thing for her to come back, because now if her and Velvet Sky reform the Beautiful People again...
Well, that's another thing.
I'm going to break out my Beautiful People shirt, and I'm going to wear it.
Well, she was like, let's do the Beautiful People again, Velvet Sky. And Velvet Sky was just like, I don't know. And it's like, what does she have going on where she can't do the Beautiful People? I know they probably left, like they were kind of, like, pissed off at each other in storyline. But what the hell? Why wouldn't they do the Beautiful People again? I mean... What else is there to do? Are they going to bring back that one girl, Katie Lee Burchill, and do their gimmick again? The walking zombie stuff?
Oh, Winter, yeah, that was great.
Fred, I knew you had the biggest crush on Winter.
I had what on Winter?
You had the biggest crush on Winter.
See, I saw there were some people who were really into her, and I always thought she was... I never thought she was drop-dead gorgeous or anything. I thought she was cute, but...
Sounds like some a big people, crush to me, Swax.
Some people were really into her, and I think a lot of that was accent-based. But not that there's anything wrong with that.
Hmm.
But I always thought she was good-looking, but just never set my world on fire.
Hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a good thing for TNA and for women's wrestling.
It's a good thing for women's wrestling that they don't set my world on fire.
Maybe her hair was a little bit shorter. Seems like you like the short-haired gals.
No, I don't. That would be
well,
my
Hillary's
wife.
Got short hair. And...
Yeah, because I clearly, my wife is totally my type. Yeah.
Monica had short hair, didn't she? A little bit.
I wasn't looking at her hair. I wasn't even looking at her. She was under the desk. Who cares? I mean, I don't know what you're talking about.
There you go. He did not have sexual relations.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. Eventually, you were probably going to bring this up, but I'm going to bring it up anyway, Swax. There was some magazine, and I don't think this is the right name, but it's something like Dumbasses Magazine, named Gail Kim the Hottest Woman Alive. It was on the Facebook. It can't be Dumbasses Magazine.
Dumbasses Magazine, if they're going to name the most pathetic bitch alive as that.
Yeah, I don't know, Swax. She's a looker.
Here it is. I was close. It was Smartasses Magazine.
They actually have a magazine called Smartasses?
Smartasses Magazine names Gail Kim the sexiest woman alive.
Well, they're just being some smartasses, ain't they?
Yeah, they're just being a smartass, so, you know, it's not factual, but...
Is the lead editor Robert Irvine?
yeah, that's probably...
I'm not up with Smartasses Magazine. But TNA is promoting this.
Wonder. If anybody's going to be the hottest, knockout or diva alive, either that's Kelly Kelly or Book Testmucker.
Why would they devote one bit of their television program to promoting a Gail Kim magazine when they're, about to cease to exist? They're totally just... I don't know. It's like they're worried their TV deal's going to get canceled. They're running out of money. They're asking people to take less money. It's like, why wouldn't you just try to put on the best program you can do instead of talking about Gail Kim in a magazine? Who cares about that?
Did they tell about, how many times she sucked Vince McMahon off?
That's most of the article.
Okay. Well, yep. Damn, I want to read that then. Sounds like a good article.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've said this a while. I think Gail Kim butchered herself when she got that nose job. I think she looks less attractive now.
Yeah, I did notice that, because you brought that up to me. I didn't pay any attention to it, but yeah, she's definitely different looking nowadays.
She went and, I don't, what she did, and it didn't work out well for her, I don't think, is she tried to make her nose more, I know this isn't going to be the politically correct way to come about it, but she wanted her nose, well, she wanted a white person's nose. Mm-hmm. She had a cute little, you know, more of a flat Asian nose that, you know, worked for her. And now it just doesn't look good now.
The nose. And that nose isn't good.
It looks bad. Even though she's my estranged ex. So it's like she's got a frying pan like jammed in her face or something.
So she downgraded when she got with the chef.
Yep.
Yeah.
If anybody needs a nose job, it's like Summer Rae instead of Gail Kim.
Swax, you're kind of like the living, breathing Sam Shaw. Do you have like a room devoted to Gail Kim, and you went in there and burned it down after you guys broke up?
No, I almost like tore her signed photo that she gave to me back in 2006.
You almost did that.
Almost. I almost did it, but I decided to store it away, let it collect dust, just like Gail Kim's dying wrestling career, and let it go 6 feet under.
Would you go get that photo for us right now? I want to hear you tear it up live on air.
Well, it's put away. I don't even want to care to even look at it.
What are you, scared?
Scaredy cat.
I'm not a scaredy cat. It's just stored away with all my old stuff of her that I don't even want to look at.
I just imagine this giant storage locker full of Gail Kim merchandise.
He's got like a noose hanging in his room, and he's got like a Gail Kim cardboard cutout hanging in it.
It'd be very Matt Hardy-like.
Well, he is the real bleeding Sam Shaw, isn't he?
I think Sam Shaw is entirely based on Matt Hardy, probably.
There is no Dexter, it's just Matt Hardy.
It's just Matt Hardy.
All right, Swaxy, anything
also,
else?
Also, I want to talk about Raw.
All right.
And I'm liking the way how the WWE is really healing up the authority coming up to WrestleMania, because I think that it'll be a lot much better when Daniel Bryan beats Triple H and goes in the triple threat match at WrestleMania, and it'll be a lot well worth it, you know, because Triple H really wasn't that much of a factor, you know, going into this pay-per-view. But now he's all heels up. That now that he entered himself into the triple threat match, if he beats Daniel Bryan, you know, that makes it more epic for Daniel Bryan to win.
Yeah. I'm surprised here. I thought people would be all up in arms about Triple H adding himself like to the match if he beats Daniel Bryan, but it seems like everybody likes it. So that's
cool. It adds some suspense to it. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Swax mentions this, you know, I might be okay with Daniel Bryan beating Triple H and then Daniel Bryan winning the title and then Hulk Hogan coming out and beating him. I think that's also a way to go, too. Beats Daniel Bryan for the title, and then he can throw him like five rows deep like he did Rocky. That'd be great.
Good stuff. Get out of here, meatball. Well, President Clinton agreed with me earlier that Brock Lesnar is going to beat The Undertaker. What do you think, Swax?
I think that The Undertaker, because, you know, Brock Lesnar isn't really a wrestler. He's an MMA guy. I think The Undertaker made the worst decision to book himself in a match when he is not in good shape anymore against an MMA fighter. And I don't know who's going to win this match, but The Undertaker is going to lose 10 years of his life coming out of this match, because he ain't going to walk out of WrestleMania.
Uh-oh.
I can guarantee you that. He's going to get his ass beat so bad that he's going to not want to thank Vince for even putting him in a WrestleMania match this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because Brock Lesnar is not the type of guy that's just going to play, you know, rules of wrestling. He every move that he does is stiff, and he's just going to destroy the Undertaker.
He might check the oil.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I think the Undertaker made the worst decision of being booked in this match.
Well,
he's no longer young. He's out of shape.
So basically you're saying the Undertaker is going to lose. Hell yeah. Big loser Undertaker. That's what we'll name him after he loses this one. Just the big losing machine at WrestleMania. It's always going out there and mucking it up. Big loser. All righty, Swax. Thank you for calling in, my man. Take her easy.
All right.
All right, we got Santo on the phone.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Loud and clear, and it's such a beautiful sound.
Thank you, Andrew. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing.
I'd say we're pretty good.
Yeah. No complaints.
No complaints. My heart's still beating. I'm here. I'm alive.
That's good to hear.
Everything is beautiful in its own way. Oh, yeah.
If I could dogpile on Shaheem's comment about Willow, he also wears a Jeff Hardy shirt.
Yeah, if you're going to be another character, at least wear another shirt. Get your own shirt of some sort. I don't know. I mean, how are you to expect anybody to believe that it's not Jeff Hardy? You come out with all your tattoos ablazing. I mean, come on, dude. I guess that's what their plan was all along, because Taz didn't even give it a chance. Like, he was just like, oh, that's Jeff Hardy. So maybe they told him to say that. I don't know. Freaking Willow. I hate it already.
Damn that Willow. I didn't even watch it, so I don't know.
I do like when he screams. But he didn't scream this week on Impact. So.
Yeah, he pretty much just... What did he do? He squashed Spud, right?
Yeah, I think so. He had a match with Rockstar Spud. It's pretty quick.
I think any match with Rockstar Spud should be like 10 seconds.
He's not.
I'm pretty sure. No, I'm pretty sure I could take him pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. You just like it, blow, just like a gust of wind or something would blow him down.
Yeah, they should just do the movie Do a Midget. You just put your X on your arm out and then have Spud swing around.
You could do all sorts of those midget spots with Rockstar Spud. He definitely needs to bite MVP's ass.
Can you put like your arm on his head and have him like act like he's punching at you?
That's what we were just talking about.
Oh, I thought he said like spin around or something. I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's all good, Incher. I briefly spoke about this either on Twitter or on Facebook to the press, but I think we should try to top the Without Your Head record of 7-hour podcasting.
Veto.
Yeah. We're already going late tonight. So. JR took up too much time.
Yeah, that went back and talked, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear his podcast? I think it was this week or last week with Trish Stratus.
Oh, no. I didn't listen to that.
No.
God. Maybe if I was in hell, I'd listen to it.
Oh, man, like the first 10 minutes or 20 minutes, it's, you know, him live, and then the rest is like tape to Trish. But the 20 minutes, man, you have to just hear the first 20 minutes. He's hammered.
JR does not drink. He says so himself.
The first thing he said on the podcast was, this is not a Snapple or whatever. This is Snapple.
Mm-hmm.
There he just, I don't know, he was just ranting and raving for 20 minutes, and it was very incoherent. I'm like, man, this guy just hasn't learned.
Well, like, I could totally listen to a podcast just for JR, but I don't know, it's just Trish Stratus, man.
I bet she talks about that goddamn baby we hate.
She's like, I'm having another baby. Like, yeah, JR!
She kind of does, man. It was at that point, it was pretty annoying.
Oh, God. Trish Stratus and all her babies.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I remember from her was saying that she hates the word divas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was just like, she hates that term, divas, because, you know, they're wrestlers and they're not divas, and she kind of went on a tangent about it, so.
Yeah, I always respect that. It is kind of a diva, even in its non-wrestling connotation, is not necessarily a good thing. Mm-hmm. It kind of means bitch.
Yeah, I thought that's a dick cunt, you know?
Yeah.
Or a very flamboyant gay guy. You just gotta call him a diva.
Not Pat Patterson, though. No. Totally straight.
Totally straight. It's a work.
Heard it from JR himself.
You filled me in on that during the commercial, but yeah, yep. I can't believe that.
Totally straight. Would not blow JR. Mm-hmm. He just whipped it out and nope. Not interested, buddy.
No, sir. No, sirree. Sato, is there anything else on your mind, my man?
Yes, you know, since I was trying to do the whole 7-hour podcast, I wrote a list of 1,004 topics we could talk about.
Well, let's go through them real quick. We'll give yes or no answers.
All right. Topic number one is, how gay is a tuxedo match?
Do you think it's like a gay match, President Clinton? Or do you think it's just like, these men are in tuxedos and they just want to ruffle the other one's suit up so much?
There is the... I wonder if it's on YouTube still. There is a Steve Austin, Johnny B. Bad tuxedo match from, like, worldwide. And I think it is amazing because it is what it is. It's a Steve Austin tuxedo match. And it's I get a kick out of it. And the big kick out of it is the build to the match, if you see the whole worldwide, is... Steve Austin picked the stipulation of the match. He wanted Johnny B. Badd in a tuxedo match, and it's great.
You think he wishes that one wasn't out there?
Probably.
Goddamn kid.
Let's do ourselves a tuxedo match. I think that's what the fans want.
They didn't do that with the primetime players.
The tuxedo match? What was the last tuxedo match they had?
My memory, Harvey Whippleman and Howard Fink. Maybe they had one in between. Maybe between Briscoe and Patterson.
That was the last big one. Did Ricardo ever have a tuxedo match? Since he wears a tuxedo?
I kind of remember something like that. I remember him having like a Bieber shirt or Bieber underwear.
I know they probably like ripped his clothes off just because he's in a tuxedo, but... I don't know. I guess it's just fun to rip people's clothes off who are dressed in a tuxedo.
Now, I will tell you, by far my favorite tuxedo match is from Mid-South. It is the Coal Miner's Glove on the Pole tuxedo cage match between Ted DiBiase and Jim Duggan. It is just nuts. Because it's not just a tuxedo match, it's not just a cage match, and it's not just a cage match with tuxedos. There is also a coal miner's glove on a pole match.
And I think it's like $100,000 on the line, too.
It was Loser Leave Town.
Oh.
Loser Leaves Town, tuxedo cage, coal miner's glove on a pole match.
They were just seeing how crazy they could make that match, weren't they?
And they got color in that match, too.
God, I can't think of, like, any tuxedo match that I've actually seen. I know I've seen some, but I can't think of any. Huh. All right, what's your next question?
All right, the next thing, I was listening to another podcast, because that's what I do at work, just nonstop podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
According to one of the Bellas, I think it was Boo Bella, she said that JoJo, the reason why she was barely on TV was because of underage drinking.
Ah, troublemaker.
They're all just drunken whores.
So, obviously, it's okay for the other ones because they're legal, but JoJo's underage, so they couldn't air any of that on TV.
I see.
Well, that's
bad. I thought she was such a nice girl.
Yeah, I guess we were wrong about JoJo. Guess we were wrong.
Good thing they fired her.
I don't even think she's fired.
Oh, really?
They're just going to keep her in Florida for like a year or two, and then maybe when she's legal, then they'll do something.
Well, she hasn't been on the boring NXT the last 2 weeks. I know that.
Yeah, would have made it any more boring, though, if she was actually on it.
I don't know. It would be tough to make it more boring.
Put her on commentary.
There was some pretty horrible commentary on NXT. They were like, at one point, they had like four or five people on commentary. Mm-hmm. They had the two guys they normally have out there, and then they had Blondie out there, the new Blondie girl who does the interviews. She was out there doing it. I like Renee. She's good. Mm-hmm. But she was out there, and she was being pretty horrible on commentary. And Lord Tensai was out there, too. And they were all doing commentary. And Lord Tensai was flirting with Renee, and it was all weird and awkward and bad.
I guess they just throw shit at the wall and see if it sticks.
Yeah, they don't care. It's NXT.
I mean, that's pretty much what the project was to begin with. It's just like, let's just have a developmental thing.
Yep.
What, has that one guy been on there, the fruity dude who has the crowd bring him out to the ring and all that? Has he been back on there?
That, I think that happened 2 weeks ago. It didn't happen this week, so.
Yeah, I saw his debut, and I was immediately appalled by that.
I didn't know what to think about that one.
What else next, you got for us, Sal?
Yeah, next topic. Two down.
1,000 and two to go.
That's okay,
940 are arm bar, so.
Okay.
According to Disco Inferno, the whole show Gigolos is a work.
What?
Like the one that Buff's on now?
Yeah, that's where he got. Like he said that he spoke to Buff's manager, and the manager said the show was a work. Probably it might have been her. Maybe she's just defending the family name by saying it's a work.
There you go.
It's funny Glenn Gilberti cares enough to find out whether
to inquire of whether or not Buff's Gigolo show is a work.
It's like, is that, you know, a work or whatnot? And he's like, you know, I'm just asking. For a friend of mine, from somebody I know, who's a second cousin of somebody.
I don't have this money order for $10,000 made out to you for any other reason.
Good old Disco Inferno. Who would have thought?
Yeah, he was a booker in WCW for a little bit, and TNA.
Yeah, I knew about the TNA stuff. I didn't know he was a booker in WCW, but I believe it. Who the hell gave that guy the book?
Vince Russo looked at him and said, you know, Disco Inferno, that's a great gimmick. Maybe you could help out everybody else of theirs.
He's like, all right, go out to the ring, dancing to disco music. He's like, that's the only idea you come up with. He's like, I know.
Yeah, well, I mean, at one point, there was like four or five dancers. There was, you know, Disco, Alex, the Jap one, the Wild, what's his name? Ernest Miller?
Ernest Miller, the cat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the cat, there it is.
They also had him as like a NASCAR driver or something in TNA back in the early days. So.
Ernest Miller?
No, Disco Inferno.
Okay. That makes a little more sense.
Yeah, slightly more.
But I don't remember that too much. I didn't watch too many of the pay-per-views back in the days. The weekly pay-per-views they would have. $10 for a show. That's how TNA made its existence.
That's another one of those things that people say was awesome, those old weekly pay-per-views. I watched one of those not too long ago. I thought it was the shits.
Well, those shows really, like, they range, because you would have, like, one awesome match, and then a really shitty segment with midgets, and then it'll finish pretty okay. Like, it was, It was always from one spectrum to the other. You know what I mean?
Is it just that wrestling fans are just nostalgic? Like, they don't enjoy it while they're watching it until it's gone, and then like, man, I really miss those days.
I do think a lot of wrestling is better on a tape delay.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're not constantly thinking of where the booking should go or should have gone. It's already kind of happened now, so you can just kind of sit back and enjoy it.
Hmm.
Yeah, wrestling fans are getting like worse and worse. Like I know you covered it, but man, people complaining about Mr. T going into the Hall of Fame, it's like, God.
Fucking morons.
Like the only thing that like I can't understand is like maybe they just like the only way that it makes sense to me is that they didn't know like how big of a deal he was back in the day.
But even if you don't know how big of a deal he was in the you know he was in the main event of the first WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. He was a participant. And, the very first one.
Yeah, like I think it was on Song Man. He posted up, and there's people agreeing with him. And one guy was just like, "Muhammad Ali deserves to be in it more." I'm like, "Muhammad Ali was a special referee, and they put him outside because you know he obviously couldn't do anything."
Yeah.
Oh, wrestling fans, I don't know what to say. I'm gonna post a Tuxedo match on the Facebook page.
Do it.
The Steve Austin one.
Excellent. Sounds like good stuff. Alrighty, Santo. I know you got a bunch of more stuff, but we're not doing that.
Ain't gonna happen.
No, sir.
We don't have to work that hard. We already got your money, brother.
my money.
Yes, right, brother. We already got their money.
Alright, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call.
See you now. You think when Kevin Nash tells that story, like he's trying to make Hulkster look good, or he's just trying to like put fans in the mindset of some of the wrestlers? What do you think he's trying to accomplish with that?
I don't know what Nash is trying to think there.
Like, it doesn't come off very well when you tell a fan that you're about to put on a good show, and then one of the participants says, "Easy, we already got their money."
Yeah, I don't know where he's coming from in that. I mean, Nash. Nash knows what his role is with all those shoots and stuff, so. Mm-hmm.
Guess he's trying to make it interesting. Maybe.
Makes it interesting now. I mean, Nash does come out there and tell you the truth and reveal some secrets that, are legit, like, The Rock being gay. But, on some of these other ones, he knows his role is to just entertain the marks and get his money.
There you go. Alrighty, everybody. I just want to say 423 area code when you're calling in. You kept hanging up every time I was about to go to you, so I apologize we didn't get to your call. But it's the way the cookie crumbles. You got to be patient.
Crumble.
Seeky's calling in, but I'm not going to pick it up because it's way past the hour. We stopped taking calls at 11.
It's true, we do. Mm-hmm. Eastern Standard Time.
Yes, sir. So sorry, Seeky. Alrighty. President Clinton, can you think of anything else we better talk about before we end the show?
No, I think we've done a very good job of covering wrestling.
Excellent. Alrighty, everybody. So we'll see you back next week. I guess Jack's going to be back next week.
I'm not planning on being here. But you never know.
So if you do plan on being here, Jack, good. But if you're not, just let us know. I think he's going to be back there next week.
I think because I think there's a guest.
Okay.
Isn't it Bushwhacker Luke?
Yes, it is.
He'll definitely be back then. So, alrighty, everybody. We'll see you all next week. Anything you want to tell the marks out there, Prez?
Nah. They know they suck.
That is all the people need to know. See you all.
Yeah, this is Jackie Crockett. You're listening to In Your Head.